If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
But the big question on everybody's lips.
Yeah, their chap lips.
On their chap lips. Chap right. Lips. Do you think Phil's gonna come out and see a shadow?
Punxsutawney Phil.
That's right, woodchuck chuckers. It's Groundhog Day! Get up and chick that hog out there!
Yeah! Come here, Groundhog!
Once a year, the eyes of the nation turn to this tiny hamlet in western Pennsylvania to watch a master at work. The master? Punxsutawney Phil, the world's most famous weatherman, the groundhog, who, as legend has it, can predict the coming of an early spring. So I guess the question we have to ask ourselves today is, does Phil feel lucky? Well, it's Groundhog Day again, and that must mean that we're up here at Gobbler's Knob waiting for the forecast from the world's most famous groundhog weatherman, Punxsutawney Phil, who's just about to tell us how much more winter we can expect.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat.
Once again, the eyes of the nation have turned here to this tiny village in western Pennsylvania. Blah, 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 blah. There is no way that this winter is ever going to end. As long as this groundhog keeps seeing his shadow, I don't see any other way out.
And now,
he's got to be stopped, and I have to stop him.
Our feature presentation.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Only you could bring up.
Fan.
Only you could bring up. Yeah, Bill Murray fan, of course. Groundhog Day, really.
He was awesome in that movie.
He was.
Yes, he was in 1981.
Well, I don't know if it was
79.
It's Groundhog Day, and it's
the seminal groundhog movie.
It's probably the best movie ever made about Groundhog Day, I think.
That is a tiny, tiny category, though, I think.
I'm just saying. It's worth remembering Mr. Murray's great work. That's all I'm saying. And it is so stupid. That's what I love about that clip, is it points out how retarded it is that people all gather around to watch a rat get pulled out of a tunnel. By the way, Mike, Alita's boobs did not see their shadow today, so I'm very disappointed. I was watching, but guess what? Covered up. No way they could have seen their shadow.
Aww. How sad for you.
She's a bitch, and I hate her. I'm just saying.
All right, so what else happened? Anything over the weekend?
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067, the Monday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. So Lisa was starting to tell us, so right before we got into the intro, yeah, that she was watching the game yesterday at the very end. She was rooting for Florida. Pick it up from there.
Well, or Florida. Phoenix. I said to Mike, I just assumed that the yellow uniforms would be the Cardinals because they're from Florida, but I meant Phoenix. But I was just thinking sun, right? Lots of sun. So when the safety happened, I was beyond perplexed because it just didn't make sense because it was the Cardinals that were in their end zone.
Are you joking?
No.
Well, that totally makes sense. If you don't watch football or follow football, it is confusing to see the team that doesn't have the ball get points.
Yes,
it just doesn't happen that often. It's the only way it can happen. So I can understand why you'd be confused by that.
And it took me probably until, I don't know, the last 3 minutes to figure out that I had the team switched.
Wait. So how long did you watch the whole game?
No. Oh, I watched maybe the last 45 minutes. I mean, it was on in the background, but then I actually sat down the last 45 minutes
so
to watch it.
So for 45 minutes, you had the teams reversed.
I had the teams reversed, and I was rooting for,
that would've worked for me.
Pittsburgh. Because I wanted you to win your money,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah, that didn't happen as much.
And then when I realized my mistake, I was beyond horrified.
It's your fault!
I know.
You owe me.
I was very sad for you, Kevin. I was also rooting for the Cardinals.
Oh, you mean that's my fault? I mean, it's my fault for getting mixed up.
The loss is your fault
because I rooted
for
the wrong team.
You threw your bad mojo out there into the universe.
God knows I have a sway in sports.
So most people who are watching the game around the country, you know, some people are fans of either of those teams. Most people probably didn't have much of an interest in it. But Kevin, not only from Phoenix, had $1,200 resting on it. And you were 35 seconds away from heading to the Spearmint Rhino and showing Cinnamon some love.
I was jumping with 2 minutes and 43 seconds whenever they scored. I was jumping around like a madman.
Yeah, there's no way.
Screaming, yelling. I was watching with some Pittsburgh fans. I was all in their faces being an a-hole. And then it just turned right around and bit me in the ass.
Who would ever imagine 2 years in a row that the game would end with 35 seconds left?
Yeah, Super Bowl's just notorious. Just through the years, right? They're usually a boring game. Usually, you know, one of the games 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
That's usually the best game of the year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was good.
You can call about that or anything else that's going on in town or over the weekend or whatever.
So I understand the Pittsburgh won. I get it. They did enough plays. They should have won.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not review that last play?
How do you? Yeah, man, I agree too.
They did review it.
No, you can't.
No, you can't officially challenge it within
2 minutes. No. The referees do it in the last 2 minutes automatically.
But I think they have to see something that leads them to believe that there's a possibility it would be overturned. And I think
that's what the announcer said. Yeah,
as the announcers pointed out, you could clearly see both feet in the end zone.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I don't mean that play.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, that was the last play.
You're totally right. He was in bounds. You're totally right about that one. Arizona's lucky he didn't catch the pass before that, where he was wide open in the end zone.
Right.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm talking about the Kurt Warner forward pass where they called it a
fumble. Right. Yeah.
I don't get that one. It may have gone against me, but how do they not review it? How does that not get reviewed?
I wonder if 5 seconds on the clock had something to do with it, but clearly, you know, the option would, had he had another shot at it, clearly he could have gotten the ball to somebody, you know, theoretically, and they could have run it.
Theoretically, I mean, probably not. I get the odds are against it, but I don't know how you don't review it.
I mean, you have the quarterback's arm has to be in a forward motion.
Right.
Is that the thing?
Right. And it was questionable.
Where did they get him? Where did it look like to you?
I'm rooting for Arizona, so it looked to me like it was going forward. You know, but I think it was close enough that either side would agree it should be reviewed. It may not rule in my favor, but how do you not review it? I don't know.
Hey, what about that?
They were just like, you know what? We got reviewed by the Arizona Cardinals, and we lost too many times. F them. We're not going to review this. That's what they said.
Well, as a Seattle Seahawks fan, I can't tell you how pleased it made me in the first quarter to see Roethlisberger get a review against him on that touchdown, where they pulled it away from him because he wasn't quite in.
That happened.
The exact same thing happened to the Seahawks 3 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. This is going to be a rough day. I am not going to be a very nice person today. I'm just telling you right now.
You only lost $20 and you lost it 9 months ago.
I'm in a bad mood and F you all.
What are you, Ralph now?
I am. No, Ralph actually bounces back from
filled.
Ralph bounces back from bad losses. I don't. No. I'm not used to it.
Okay.
All right. Let's take some calls for a Monday morning, shall we?
Sure would like to. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. If Psycho Mike were here, we would be able to play a little music bed that explains that you can call and talk about any topic.
Do it with your mouth.
That's what I'm doing.
Do it with your mouth. That's what she said.
No, the music.
Oh. So let's take your phone calls, and we have a prize for you just for getting on the air.
All right. We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Why do I feel like we start over on Monday mornings? Why do I feel like there's no knowledge that carries over the weekend from Friday?
Start from scratch?
We got a pair of lift tickets to join K-Rock at Bear Mountain coming up on Valentine's Day. That'll be Saturday, February the 14th. Psycho Mike, were you unaware that we might need that little piece of tape to take phone calls here today, or what happened there?
No, it just slipped my mind. I apologize.
He's just standing there looking at us.
I had no idea what Kevin was motioning to. Totally bad.
All right, let's begin with Ted in Canoga Park. Good morning, Ted. What it do?
Good morning. What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, I have to say that was a great game yesterday, but my topic is more on the serious side.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys heard that the Smithsonian Institute is hoping to get the hat that Aretha Franklin wore during the inauguration, and I'm thinking it's for a bowl of potato chips.
They want the hat that she wore at the inauguration because it was somehow
significant in history or something.
It was significant in size, but other than that.
Well, maybe they want to commemorate the inauguration of the president, and they can't get any of the meaningful stuff from that day because, you know, the Bible's already spoken for in the podium or whatever. So maybe they figure that's a recognizable artifact of the day from that people will remember from watching it on TV.
Well, the article stated that they're already going to get, I guess, Michelle Obama's dress that she wore.
Right.
But the hat, I don't know where that falls into history.
I think that's going to be remembered not at all.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Unbelievably, the company that makes those hats can't make them fast enough. Yeah. I got so many orders now from people who saw it on Aretha's head.
That's true.
I'm surprised Aretha didn't eat it when she was done singing.
Let's go to Carlos in Long Beach. Good morning, Carlos.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin Nagin, Lisa May?
Good morning.
What's going on?
Hey, I was wondering if you guys saw the halftime show where Bruce Springsteen slid on stage and hit the crotch or hit the camera with his crotch.
Hey, did he knock the camera with his actual penis?
That was so funny.
It was unbelievable. He slid right into the cameraman.
He was having a good time.
Who now probably has the camera stuck in his eye.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it's just hilarious. We were just laughing our ass off.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Thanks for the call. What do you guys think about the Springsteen show?
He was great. I mean, he's good.
Right.
I don't think it's possible to please everyone with a halftime show at the Super Bowl, but that's getting closer than
most.
They have in a while.
Yeah.
Well, it's because the NFL took over. What happened is the NFL took over the halftime show after they got. They felt like they got burned on the Janet Jackson deal. So ever since then, it's been, you know, Prince and Bruce Springsteen. I mean, they do a better job than whoever was planning them before.
Yeah, I wonder who was.
In terms of the kind of entertainment that they're picking. I mean, you're getting more Rolling Stones and less, Up With People now.
Right.
Let's go to Mike, who is calling from North Hollywood. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What to do?
What to do, nephews? What to do, baby boo?
What to do?
Hey, I'm surprised you guys haven't made mention that on Friday you guys talked to the guy from Madden and they had played the game and it was supposed to be 28-24 Steelers. Does it get any closer than that?
No, the guy was virtually dead on from EA, and the only reason we haven't mentioned it yet is because we've only been on the air for 4 minutes.
Well, we got a lot of show ahead, a lot of talk about the Super Bowl still coming. Not only was the score almost exactly the same, but it happened just like he said it would. Arizona would come back in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Almost to win, and then the Steelers would win.
That's freaky.
It was freaky.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty bitching. I thought that was pretty bitching.
Yeah.
Especially since all we did was mock him because they only played it once on their game. We said, well, if you played it 10,000 times, now you got something. He's like, oh, once is all you need because they only play the real game for once. We're like, who's laughing now?
Yeah. Oh, dear God. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
It's Monday. As you heard a few minutes ago, it is the 2nd of February, Ola. Which makes it Groundhog's Day, and that's what we're going to talk about at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock.
Really?
Groundhog's Day, yes.
Groundhog Day, by the way.
Oh.
I'm just saying, if you're going to say it, you might as well say it.
I'm just saying, F you. Look at Channel 4. They got that a-hole with the big black top hat.
Yep. Yeah.
Wearing a tuxedo.
Look at all the people out there. My God.
Hey, give Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania some credit for coming up with something to get some tourism one day a year.
I want to punch them right in the head. We got some Super Bowl recap, it turns out.
Okay.
We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in the 6 o'clock hour.
Okay.
We are going to talk to Ryan Scheckler about an event you might want to attend. It's going to be very cool.
All right.
We have... K-Rock's World Tour 2009, destination number 2. We're going to make that announcement at 7:15 this morning.
Great.
And whatever else, I don't care. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:49.
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
It's Groundhog's Day. Everyone's very happy.
Groundhog.
It's Groundhog's Day. Everyone's enjoying themselves.
Groundhog. You got some competition in the cranky category today. Have you heard the monkey over here?
Dude, look, I feel his pain. I know what it's like to lose a Super Bowl by less than a touchdown.
Yeah, but
in the
you come
quarter.
In and you're okay.
Well, I'm an
Eagle. I was thinking on my way in, dude, Ralph could get over this. Why can't I?
I'm a fan of that team from Philadelphia. So,
you said Eagle, by the way, right
no.
there, didn't
no,
you?
No, I didn't.
I think he stopped himself. I think he caught it.
We mean to go back
10 bucks. I think it's just 10 bucks.
go under the hood and review it and see what happens. See if I had both vowels down or not.
I thought, obviously, the fourth quarter was phenomenal. Did you guys think it was much of a game before that?
I can tell you from an Arizona standpoint, in the first half, it was brutal.
I thought it was one of the best Super Bowls I've ever seen.
Really? Through and through?
Beginning to end. Beginning to end, absolutely.
They did stop Pittsburgh many times, like on the 3, on the 5. I mean,
defenses were on fire both sides in the first half, and then, of course, to end up that with that run back. I mean, the biggest, longest run back ever in the history of the Super Bowl.
It was only 100
yards. Unbelievable.
Just 100.
Top to bottom.
That guy.
Best one. The halftime show, everything. Best time I've ever had at the Super Bowl.
I'm surprised that that guy ran the 100 yards. I'm surprised that he's still not laying on the field as out of breath as he was at 240 pounds running 100 yards.
Look, James Harrison was picking up his knees. He was no slouch. That guy moved for a,
for 20 yards.
For a big man.
Yeah. For 25 yards. Then he slowed down. He was like, and the whole thing took about an hour.
He seemed to get where he was going, though.
He did.
I kind of got the impression that he, hey, I got an interception. I'll see if I can get 5 yards on it. Or, okay, 10 yards. Hey, what's going on? I'm still standing up. All right, now I'm running into some guys. Why aren't I falling down? Yeah. Why am I still moving?
I didn't get that impression at all. He was working his ass off, especially along the sidelines. He was going out of his way to stay in bounds. He was headed towards the end zone.
It was a great run. I guess. It really was.
But there had to come a point, though, at about the 30 where he went, I'm not sure I can make it there. I'm out.
And he was working pretty hard for a guy who was ready to lay down.
Well, it's very impressive, that's for sure. It is 5:52 Monday morning. Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on?
As we do every Monday, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Finally, it took a badass Irishman, but somebody knocked Paul Blart out of the top of the top 10 movies this weekend. Taken with Liam Neeson came in at number one. $24.6 million made it so. Then comes Paul Blart on a Segway right behind him. $14 million made it number two. The Uninvited.
Ralph, did you see Paul Blart get interviewed on the pregame show?
No, sir.
Yeah. He was interviewed, and he was on the Segway, as was the interviewer.
Shut up!
That was about hour six of the pregame show.
I didn't watch any of the pregame stuff. I said, this year, I'm going to sit my ass down at kickoff because I cannot stomach the filler for 6 hours that they pump down our throats before we get to the Super Bowl.
I did the same thing, Ralph. I was waiting for that. I did the same thing around 2:30. I turned it on. Because usually I'm the guy at 10 a.m. Ready to go. But it's a long night. Even if you start at kickoff, it's a long night.
For those of us who are football fans, if you're listening to sports radio and you're watching the NFL Network and you're watching ESPN, for 2 weeks, it's just you're already done. You're inundated for 2 weeks. You can't get any more facts crammed into your head. So I finally said, screw it. I'm just not going to put
up with
it.
Do you know that they interviewed Sarah Palin?
No.
Yes. On the pregame show for the Super Bowl.
Wow.
They are out.
Because one of the teams was from Alaska. Oh, wait. No, they
they're
weren't.
They're out. That means they're out. Yeah, that's why I didn't watch.
Yeah.
Because I would have been too angry.
I fast-forwarded through it, and I just kept going, what? No. No. It was just ridiculous.
It took me 45 minutes when I sat down when they told me they were going to kick off to the game.
That's true.
Because they had to sing 18 national anthems. I didn't know we had that many. I thought we just had the one. But they had about 14 people singing 18 songs. Then the drum and drill corps came out. And then I think they resodded the field, if I'm not mistaken.
That has to be torturous for guys who are playing the
game. Can you imagine?
Just waiting.
Especially after you come out of the locker room.
Yep.
You stand on the sidelines and there's another 25 minutes of pomp and circumstance before they kick the ball off.
Yep.
Yeah, it was crucial. I just think they need to clean that up a little bit. I'm saying 6 hours isn't enough to fill that kind of stuff with. Really, we need to pull out Sully and the crew from 1348 or whatever it was, from the Hudson Landing, you know? Look, give them tickets. Fine. Absolutely. I don't need to meet them. I don't need to see the winner of the punt passing kick competition. I don't need the play 60 most valuable player. I don't need any of that.
Yeah.
Play that football
game. Retarded kid that runs the football out at the beginning of the game. You don't need him.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty good.
Let's see. Hotel for Dogs was number four at the box office. Gran Torino was five. Slumdog Millionaire came in at number six. Underworld Rise of the Lycans. Are we slaves? Or are we lycans?
Oh, lycans.
It's Lycan Day. It's not Lycans Day. New in Town. Take that, Renee Zellweger. And take the cold.
Damn it.
$6.8 million made it number eight.
Does that mean women saw that trailer and did the opposite of what we expected, which is they said, I'm not going to go see that. It looks horrible.
Yes.
Sounds like.
Some of them must.
Wow.
My Bloody Valentine 3D was number nine, then Inkheart rounding out your top ten. Hilary Duff, I mentioned last week, is signed on to star in a new movie version of the legendary film Bonnie and Clyde that originally starred Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway as the famous bank-robbing duo. The movie received 10 Oscar nominations, by the way, at the time. And when asked about it, Faye Dunaway, the female lead who played the original Bonnie in that film, had one simple response to the question, what do you think about the new casting? Couldn't they at least cast a real actress, she said.
Nice. Got a point.
Evan Rachel Wood is furious about the rumors that she's hooked up with her on-screen dad from the wrestler Mickey Rourke.
She should be.
The 21-year-old actress told RollingStone.com that Mickey, at 56, is way too old for her. She's not attracted to him, and she feels disrespected by Mickey and the press the press for reporting the rumors and Mickey for not clearing things up when Pete was asked about it. He's been sort of cagey about it.
But weren't they seen making out?
They kissed on the red carpet, but I get the sense it was sort of like a co-star kiss.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe more of a co-star kiss for her than him, but
yeah, right. Who knows? I think a wishful thinking on Mickey's part may have led the rumor to have a longer shelf life than maybe it should have.
Well, I'm very happy that that was not true then.
She said it's not the case. Nothing going on there.
Good.
But I think she sort of brings it on herself a little bit because of her history. When we know that she did live with Marilyn Manson, we just assume that she's got terrible taste in men.
Yeah, true. She still has terrible taste in men.
As Marilyn Manson is. There's still a leap to Mickey Rourke, if you've ever seen Mickey, but yeah. My friends over at PETA have a new target.
Yeah. Oh, you love them.
I do love the PETA. They're strong-minded, well-thought-out, reasonable people. Liza Dushku, apparently, is their new target.
Ooh. How dare they.
How dare they indeed.
By the way.
How dare they indeed.
Dare they.
She's got that new show, The Dollhouse, coming on Fox, which looks great, by the way.
It does.
Of course, her old buddy from Buffy. Josh Whedon in charge of that. She was on the Jimmy Kimmel Show recently, and she said one of her favorite hobbies is hunting. But she said that she does eat everything she shoots. She doesn't hunt for sport. She hunts for the food. I guess there's no supermarkets near her house.
No, she has to actually trap her own food.
Yeah,
kill
it. It's a rough neighborhood. That is a rough neighborhood. Well, PETA caught wind of this, and the New York Post reports that PETA has put her in their latest bulletin, likening her to, wait for it, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
Saying that she's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And the animals she killed are like the victims of Jeffrey Dahmer. And I think they have a point. It's the exact same thing.
It is the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing.
Because one killed humans, and then the other killed animals in the woods.
But it's the same thing.
Right.
Same thing.
Oh, and I wish I had been in Marshfield, wherever Marshfield is this weekend. I'm looking for the state. Is it New Jersey?
I think so.
Apparently, a 26-year-old man named Cole Vetterkind dressed himself up as the Joker and beat up his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend. Wisconsin is where it's from.
Wisconsin.
Marshfield, Wisconsin. Apparently, this dude was sound asleep Saturday morning when the Joker broke into his house and started pounding on him.
Here we go.
You don't play any more sound.
Yeah, something's wrong.
Something's horribly wrong with your signal there.
It's a little crackly.
I don't know what the Joker said, but I bet it was
good. Why did he dress up like the Joker?
I don't know.
To hide his identity?
I guess. Apparently, the Joker started hitting and choking him. Jason woke up. And unfortunately was within arm's reach of his 20-gauge shotgun. Shot the
Ooh.
Joker's leg.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh. And then the Joker had to be driven to that local hospital.
Not so funny now, huh?
If I was there, I would have taken him out, man. I would have put on my cape and my cowl, and I would just hit him with a batarang. Don't even need a gun.
A batarang.
That's right. Throw him in the back of the Batmobile, right to police headquarters, drop him off for the commissioner.
That's so cool. That's not real, Ralph.
And the commissioner's dead.
It's real to me.
If a guy tried to break into your house dressed as the Joker, Ralph, would you run to your secret Bat memorabilia room and put on your bat suit and go out there and just fight with him?
Yes, I'd say, hold on.
Just a minute.
It takes me about 30, 35 minutes to get into the costume. I'll be right back. That's what I would say. Yeah.
But how awesome would you feel if you were actually beating up the Joker?
I'd feel awesome. And sadly, apparently, Megan Fox has announced she is not interested in taking on the role of Lara Croft Tomb Raider in the franchise that Angelina Jolie started.
Yeah, that seemed like a miss to me. She's hot, but...
You don't think she's Lara Croft?
No, because Lara Croft has, like, comic gigantic boobs.
Yeah.
That's kind of important. Don't you think?
You just strap them on, baby.
All right.
Yeah.
Just special effects. That's
yeah,
all
I'm
you
sure
need.
Angelina strapped them on. I think she's got good size, but not giant.
I think, as we mentioned before, hers were beefed up for the role as well. Yeah. Beefed up Angelina, I think, is playing Corchella.
No, but Angelina, for a really skinny girl, has massive
Absolutely.
Boobs.
Dude,
yeah, she for does, her, yeah. for a slight figure, she does have large cans, yes.
I enjoyed seeing Megan Fox for 1 second during the Transformers spot yesterday during the game.
Yeah, just heard her going,
ah!
See Tamara Brown?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
See that Land of the Lost trailer?
How funny does that movie look?
It's going to be amazing.
I love Will Ferrell.
Damn it.
He predicted
how funny he is.
Will Ferrell, in an interview in that 10-hour pregame show,
yes,
predicted that the game was going to come down to only a safety and that one of the teams would win 2-0. That was his prediction.
The trailer, him talking to Matt Lauer.
That's very funny. It suck it, Lauer.
Matt Lauer can suck it. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Farrah Fawcett is 62 years old today. Oh, Charlie's Angel's close to being an angel. It's 62. Dog the Bounty Hunter, 56 years old today. Supermodel Christy Brinkley turns 55. Still looks great at 55, that Christy Brinkley, by the way. And Shakira is 32 years old today.
A midget.
At least that's what her hips say. I guess she's probably telling the truth.
I would think.
Because
her hips don't lie. Thank you, Kevin.
Come on.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, not me, man.
I hate Patrick Stewart. Whatever his name is. Is it Patrick Stewart?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Jean-Luc Picard,
totally,
isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah, but that's from American Dad, I think, right?
But
yeah.
It's him.
Yeah,
it's,
that's
him.
The guy I'm talking
that's
about.
That's his name.
Yeah.
Listen, cranky pants, don't come
I'm
at me
just saying.
Just because you lost.
Just your... say you're whoever.
That would have been $1,200 cash money, wouldn't it? If you had
a lot of cash right there.
Ouch.
Whatever.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, if you have comments on the Super Bowl, you want to call right now. We're going to talk about it for the next few minutes at 1-800-520-1067. If you saw something interesting or something you have a complaint about or whatever. I was thinking of Kevin at this moment about 2.5 minutes from the end of the game.
Second and 10. Warner has fun. Fitzgerald into steal of territory. 30, 20, 10. Arizona has the lead.
First time all game, they took the lead with about 2.5 minutes left to go, and it was such a beautiful pass and such a beautiful run.
It
and that's Fitzgerald, by the way. That guy is a gazelle, isn't he?
It was unbelievable, and the rest is history. Arizona wins the Super Bowl. So that's great.
If only it had been 2.5 minutes later, but instead we all know what happened. I didn't. You were mentioning, Kevin, that you tuned in bright and early for the pregame. I was like Ralph this year. I was about Super Bowled out. I couldn't take the 10 hours of pregame that I usually watch, but it sounds like I missed some good stuff.
Well, only if you can record it and fast forward through it, which is what I did.
That's the only way.
I recorded all 6 hours. They started at 9 a.m., and I recorded the entire thing and fast forwarded through it, and I got to Will Ferrell being interviewed. He's always funny.
Yeah.
He made a great prediction for the Super Bowl.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. So gotta find out. Who do you like in the game?
By the way, that's the formerly fat weather guy from the Today Show.
Oh, yeah.
Al Roker.
Why is he doing all these interviews? Al Roker interviewed 20 people.
He's a weather guy.
He's on the Today Show, and he does a lot of non-weather stuff. I mean, he's kind of a co-host on that show, does a lot of this sort of thing.
Is he a sports guy?
No.
F him.
I think the Steelers are going to win.
Score?
You know what? I think it's going to be the first Super Bowl ever, 2-0, just a safety.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Low-scoring game.
Defensive battle,
mm-hmm.
Dramatic safety in the closing minutes of overtime, of the second overtime period.
Second overtime.
It's going to be a five-hour event.
2-0.
So stock up on rations.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you got a lot of bottled water
around. Do a potty break before the game starts.
Do a potty break.
Okay, so he says potty break. He said he said that.
He did.
On TV.
He said potty break.
I was a little surprised to find out. I guess I never thought about this before, that there has never been a Super Bowl that has gone into overtime. It looked like for a minute last night that last night might be the one that would, but it ended up not being necessary. But isn't that weird that that's never happened?
Yeah.
So I fast forward through the pregame until that, and then I fast forward a bunch more, and then I see unbelievably Sarah Palin. And I started yelling. I was like, what?
So odd.
Are you kidding me?
I'm Governor Sarah Palin, and while some of you may know me as a hockey mom at heart, football's pretty cool too, especially on Super Bowl Sunday. And today, while we're enjoying the big game, take some time to think about and thank the men and women serving us in the United States military. Special shout out to Alaskan military men and women serving around the world. So let's hear it. Who's going to win the big game?
Yeah.
Was there anyone they talked to who thought the Cardinals were going to win?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a few people that were calling them. They did cover the spread, but that wasn't enough. So that's not good. The last play of the first half was killer.
Yeah.
Arizona was just about to score, go into halftime ahead.
Mm-hmm.
14-10 or whatever, and then this
from the gun. Steelers show blitz. Here they come. He gets it away, and it's picked off at the goal line. There's a flag thrown on the run back, James Harrison. to run it back, and Harrison is past midfield. Harrison going down the sideline. Harrison still on his feet. Harrison is going to go all the way and waiting for the official to get there. Touchdown is signaled.
Yeah. It was only the longest play in Super Bowl history.
I know, 100 yards.
100 yards. It took an hour.
Oh.
We were saying a few minutes ago, we weren't sure if that guy was going to make it. I thought he might die on his way to that run, which is the exact opposite of when Fitzgerald ran his in, by the way. This was so funny. He was watching himself on the Jumbotron as he crossed the goal line.
I think he was looking to see if anyone was going to catch him, kind of a thing. But the guy from the Steelers was a defensive end or tackle or something like that. So he didn't have quite the speed of a wide receiver, but he made it all the way back, bastard.
That was unbelievable. Hey, let's talk to Phil on line 5 here this morning on the Kevin Beach
about Groundhog's Day.
Phil, Groundhog. Oh. Phil is the anti-Kevin. Hi, Phil. Welcome to the Kevin Beach Show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went to Steve. Let's go to Phil.
Yeah, Phil's line 5.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Phil. Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good.
What's your story, dude?
And that last 2 seconds of the second half, right before the second half, that was an $1,100 run back. Won $1,100 on
that. How did you win $1,100 on that?
On that, I was in a pool.
Yeah.
And 7-7 was my number, and I had reverse score also.
Ah.
$900 was a payout, and then I had reverse score for $200.
Wow. So what you're saying is if there was a 7-7 game or a 17-7 game, either team, you won $1,100 at halftime.
$1,100 at halftime, yeah.
Wow. And there were seconds from going into the tunnel, man, and you thought, well, that's clearly not going to happen.
Can I have a loan?
Yeah, correct. At the first half, I had touchings. My score was touched. I had a box that touched.
Right.
I won $112.50 off that. So I was happy with $112.50.
Well, I'm happy for you, Phil.
That's what it's like to actually win. How about that?
All right. It was so awesome. My throat's still messed up. I was screaming, jumping.
All right. Heard enough from you.
Sounds like it. Thank you, Phil. Hey, let's talk to Tom, by the way. Believe it or not, won even more on the game yesterday. Tom's in Montebello on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tom, what was your bet?
Well, thanks to Harrison's interception on the first half, I walked away with $750 then, and at the end, I walked away with another $500.
That is so good.
So glammy. Thank you so much. We're so sweet. Super.
All right. Thanks for the call. Glad to talk
to
you.
So he knows what it's like to be $1,200 up the day after the Super Bowl. Kevin, I guess you had money on one of the teams. I can't remember which one, though.
Me either. Oddly enough. Me either. Yeah, we have time for more highlights, or are we done for now? Because I'm pretty bummed out.
How about what they brought?
Do you want the super hot Cuba Gooding Jr. interview?
Oh.
I'd like to hear some of that. Yes.
I'm sorry. Did I say interview? I meant bad story that they told while they showed him in the crowd.
We're showing you Cuba Gooding Jr. Remember, he was in Jerry Maguire, and he played an Arizona Cardinal, and he became unconscious in the end zone. And I'll never forget, we were there the night. It was a Monday night game in 1995 on Christmas night when they did all of the scenics. And there he is with the Arizona Cardinals, really in the Super Bowl.
Were you in that movie with him?
I still got a $28 residual last week.
That is a good story.
Wow.
Usually John is the guy who starts reminiscing about pointless things from years past. That was weird that Al did it, and John had to put up with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the most worthless story ever told. All right, so that's it. Arizona won, and everybody's happy.
I think the Pittsburgh actually ended up winning. Yeah.
I shouldn't have turned it off.
We got Ryan Scheckler, two-time X Game gold medalist, joining us in the 7 o'clock hour here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and so much more, including our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the phone with us right now after a long celebrity-filled weekend, I'm sure. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa Mack.
Hi, Harvey.
Have any kind of a big Super Bowl party or anything good like that, Harvey?
I just watched the game.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
It was a good game. You hear Kevin lost $1,200?
Did you really?
Hey, why don't you just move on? Let's talk about Tommy Lee.
He didn't win $1,200. I guess that's the way I should. He put money on the Cardinals to win the Super Bowl last summer at 60-1 odds. Would have won $1,200 had they just hung on.
They could have won.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Should I have spent that money yet then?
No,
maybe not. That's the answer.
Americans spend it.
Well, Harvey, let's talk about one of the strangest stories I've ever seen on TMZ.com, and that's Tommy Lee's helicopter. And it's not a euphemism. What's this all about?
No, I got to tell you, we just published a new story. This
is insane.
Okay.
So yesterday, he's flying as a passenger in this helicopter with this pilot, and they're supposedly coming back from Palm Springs. Around Glendale, they went below, and the LAPD says dangerously close to their one of their choppers. So the, what we were told yesterday and what we published was that they ordered this pilot to land at the Van Nuys Airport. So they landed at the Van Nuys Airport. About 10 minutes after they land, the cops get there, and Tommy Lee is nowhere in sight, and the pilot is inside the aviation facility drinking vodka.
Right.
Okay.
So they take him to the station, and they do a breathalyzer, and he blows a .01 and a .02, and they release him. Because one of the problems is, since he was holding vodka when they got him, they have no idea whether he was drinking before or after he landed. He says, I was just, he actually got in touch with us, and he gave us a picture of him and Tommy Lee in the helicopter, which we just put up on the site, and he gave us a copy of the breathalyzer receipt.
Wow. So he was super smart in that they thought he might be drunk, and he, before they could get to him, went and started drinking, and there's no way they could prove anything then.
Well,
right?
That's the Machiavellian way of looking at it. He just says, look, he told us that when he and Tommy Lee landed, they both had a celebratory drink, as he put it.
Right.
Now, now here's where it gets even more bizarre. So we started checking. In 2006, this very same pilot was charged by the L.A. city attorney with reckless operation of an aircraft after landing in a residential area on a street in the Hollywood Hills to pick up three passengers to take them to a Nine Inch Nails concert in Irvine.
Wow. Kevin.
And guess who one of the passengers was?
Tommy Lee?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hey, is there any evidence that Tommy Lee may have been steering the helicopter, if you get my meaning?
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. I don't know. I mean, but, you've got to go on the site, because the pilot said to us, oh, yeah, we were just kind of chilling coming back from Palm Springs, and there was this big fire, and all of a sudden they found that there was this LAPD helicopter right above them. So, but you got to look at the picture, because he sent it to us, and they're just kind of chilling, and Tommy Lee's smiling.
I'd like to suggest that if the cops force you to land your helicopter, you're not going to have a celebratory drink.
or you do.
Yeah, well,
or
I mean,
you do if there's a reason for it. Right,
exactly.
Right. Yes. This is Harvey Levin on the line. Of course, we're talking about TMZ.com. TMZ television airs weeknights on Channel 11 at 6:30. I guess we shouldn't have been surprised to see a 23-year-old at a frat party with a bong, but when it's Michael Phelps, all-time gold medal Olympian, a lot of people are now starting to say that's going to really affect him. Maybe not in the sport because he's out of competition right now, but certainly with endorsement deals. What do you think, Harvey?
Well, I got to tell you, I will be candid with you on this. We got this picture 2 months ago.
Right.
I didn't run it.
Because?
I don't know. It just didn't feel right. I mean, a lot of this, you know, you can't have these hard and fast rules. It felt really kind of intrusive, and it felt like it was kind of a private party.
And it's kind of not a big deal, to
and
be honest.
And it's kind of not a big deal, and I don't know. You know what? We looked at this thing, and I think, you know, you're right. He's a 23-year-old kid. It was inside a party. Somebody just screwed him by taking this picture.
Right.
And I don't know. It didn't feel right. We didn't put it up, and we still didn't put it up. I just, you know,
that's
I don't know. You guys,
interesting.
I just didn't feel right.
I certainly think it's a non-issue.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, it just seems.
Who
it seems like so
cares?
What, right?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Well, it was look. Part of it is, you know, it would definitely embarrass him. And then the question is, for what? And you know, why are you doing it? And it's this private. It just. I don't know.
But let me ask you this, Harvey. What if it had been Jessica Simpson at a party bong ripping? Would you have put that up?
No. I mean, it's the same thing. It's like
same thing.
It's like if it's a private party and some jerk is like taking a picture to make some money. It feels wrong.
You know, it's different if someone comes out and goes, I have never used drugs. I would never use drugs.
And that, or, you know, or like Kristen Stewart sitting on the porch in plain view, you know, smoking
a
joint. That's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this, which I don't know.
Our little boy is growing up. I don't even know what to say to Harvey. All right, we got time for one more.
Oh, Brittany,
I'd like
Brittany,
to talk.
Brittany, please.
Brittany.
Let's make it Brittany. What's going on?
Oh, this is a great story. So we just broke this on the site this morning. We've been working on this for a while. So Brittany says, we know she has been saying privately, she is going to cancel this tour. You know, this is a huge tour. She will
right.
cancel this tour if she can't take her kids.
Isn't this like an around-the-world year-long tour?
Not, I mean, for what she's talking about the U.S. thing.
Okay.
And here's what happened. Privately, over the last few weeks, she has been meeting with Kevin and Jamie Spears privately, without lawyers, to figure out a way she can take these kids on tour. Guys, you are going to love this. So here's what they come up with. They have these three bases, one in New Orleans, one in New Jersey, and one in L.A. And the kids would go from base to base, depending on where she is. And she'd basically commute back and forth to the closest one.
Right.
So that was the deal. Kevin, part of his deal is he would get in excess of $4,000 a week for the duration of the entire tour. And he didn't even have to show up at any of the events or be with the kids. It was just part of his deal.
She's just going to pay him off?
So all I'm saying is that we know that the deal was he didn't have to show, but he would get more than $4,000 a week during the duration of the tour. So they basically strike the deal, and also, you know, she's had close to 50-50 custody already, and they also kind of worked that out too long term, that it would still be 50-50 and everything was going great. And apparently KFED's lawyers, this is what we're told, just were really upset because they felt Jamie was kind of trying to do all of this behind their back. So they've thrown up a roadblock and said, you know, we don't like this. And Brittany is now saying, if you guys go back on this deal, I will not go on this tour. And she is serious.
But let me stop you right there, Harvey. So it sounds like what you're saying is the father in this case gets $4,000 a week basically just to give up his half of the custody for the duration of the tour. Brittany would keep the kids at those three bases and fly back and forth between the shows. But
No, it's worse. He can be with the kids. Part of the deal is she would even get him a house in all three of the bases if he wants to go so he could be near the kids.
Yeah.
So he still has the option of doing it. He's just going to get $4,000 for all the trouble.
That was going to be the second half of my sentence was, but it's not like he can't see the kids. If he wanted to go visit with the kids at any of those locations, he still could. So what's the downside for him to accepting this deal?
Well, he was down with it, but apparently the lawyers are objecting because they feel like they were aced out of this thing. And the question is, does Kevin have the cojones to stand up to his lawyers and say, look, I made the deal, this is what I want,
right?
Or is he just going to, you know, be led by the nose? And that's the question. But I can tell you that if she can't take these kids on tour, there ain't going to be no tour.
Okay, but who does not touring hurt? I mean, it's not like the fans are going to be all up in arms. It's not like that hurts Kevin.
She really wants to be with the kids, and she's just saying, "Look, it's not worth it to me. I'm not going to. After all I've been through, and now that I got the kids up, everything back on track, I'm not going to be away from these kids." And
interesting,
she's that serious about it.
Well, I'd kind of like to see her go out on a tour and have it be successful and kind of complete the transformation back into the Britney that we all fell in love with. I mean, obviously she had a couple of rough years there, but she's back with this new record. I mean, I think it'd be great if she could pull it off. It's funny if it's really just the lawyers who are screwing it up because they want their cut.
Well, my guess is this is going to be, you know, it's funny, we put a poll up and people are really siding with her in this thing. So I have a feeling that they're going to eventually cave and let her do it. But if they don't, she ain't going. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Pretty All right, Harvey. I'm glad we had John. It's always interesting. And if you ever get any, you know, Kevin and Bean bong rip photos, I hope you'll keep this conversation in mind and just keep it private. All right, dude?
No. With you, worldwide.
Oh, that's not fair.
Thanks, Harvey. Have a great day.
Bye, Harvey.
Thank you. Bye now.
Ryan Sheckler joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, at around 7:20 or so, details on KROQ's World Tour 2009 Destination Number 2. I do not think you will be disappointed with this one. So we'll tell you all about that and tell you how you can start winning all this week on KROQ. First, though, Kevin and Bean AfroLine is on the air.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Whenever you think of something that might interest us or our listeners, feel free to call.
Where in the world is Dozo?
Great question,
yeah.
That guy. What do you need him for?
Entertainment. That's what
he emailed me a few days ago and said, "Hey, I haven't talked to you in a while." And I wrote him back immediately and said, "Dotto, we need an update. Get on the air as soon as you can. What's up?" And of course, I never heard anything from him again after that.
Yeah, he's not well.
He's sketchy. He's sketchy. Is what he is.
That guy. What do you need him for?
I think beatboxing needs to come back in a major way.
Kevin!
Wow.
Hmm.
This is the best question ever.
Did you guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a blind guy?
Heard that.
I can't hear that too many times, though. I can hear that every day for the rest of my life. It makes me happy. People have to find someone on this program that they like. This guy latched on to the very funny Bean.
God damn it, Bean. I'm trying to love the show, man. I'm listening for about 10 years now. You're making it so much easier. You're so funny, dude. How are you? I'd get checked out.
I sense a mocking tone.
Lisa May, I love you.
Okay, now, we've learned from doing this job that something is coming right there, and it's the word butt.
Yeah.
I would definitely love to lick Lisa, but stop making those stupid AT&T commercials. They're so stupid and cheesy. I mean, you're talking about your stepsister getting a divorce or some shit? What the fuck? Nobody cares.
Okay, you're on my list.
I don't make this stuff up, man. It just happens
you
to me.
You do make
it's
this
crazy.
Stuff up.
No,
wait a
that's
minute.
A true story.
That's not true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did someone really come up to you in the mall and say, hey, how come you're carrying a normal-sized purse? Did
yes.
that really happen?
That
yes.
never happened.
Why would I ever make up that story?
Because you need
to. How
would
that to. Story even occur to me?
I'm calling BS on
it
that story.
Happened.
It didn't happen.
It did.
Here's the thing about that. Didn't happen.
It would be too stupid to make up.
Look, Lisa loves AT&T. She can't stop talking about it. It's not her fault.
They're not even paying. She just likes it a lot.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin. I was just wondering, when you go to Universal Studios Hollywood, how do you feel about the tour? Do you have any excitement when you approach it? I was just wondering, how do you feel about the tour? Are you excited? Maybe super excited?
Maybe.
You know the expression, long slide for an out?
Yeah.
Come on.
That applies.
I was talking to Metallica. I said I was super excited about the tour. It's gay. All right, let's move on.
Hey, guys. I know you guys have that little ding for the hot chicks whenever you mention a hot girl's name. How about when you mention the hot guys? How about song?
Yeah, we'll work on that. In the category of super timely references.
Do you think Liam Neeson in Taken, do you think he's going to use his skills, skills that he's acquired over a very long career, like bow hunting skills, nunchuck skills. All the good spies always have skills. Ugh. Go for Pedro.
Wow.
Now, really?
Was he doing Napoleon yes. Dynamite now because he thought it was awesome or because he thought it was funny that it was 2 years old?
I don't know. 2 years.
It's more than 2 years
like 10
old.
10 years old.
Yeah. Well, not I that don't... old.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe he said the skills that I've acquired, maybe that just reminded him of that scene. I don't know. I introduced you to maybe the worst song ever by the Plain White Tees, and I'm still getting hatred for it.
Oh.
I didn't record the song. It's just the worst song ever, and I played it and I pointed it out.
There's only one way to say those three words, and that's what I'll do. I love you.
One thing to do, three words for you. You, Kevin. Why the hell did you play that song on the radio? I've been singing that stupid song for more than a month now.
A month?
I hate you, Kevin. I hate you! You, Kevin!
It is a little bit of an earworm, as they say. You can't hear it and not think about it all day.
Yeah, and you hate yourself, but you can't rid your brain of it.
Nope.
The worst song.
No.
That does not work. It's the Kevin Abid Show on
the professionals,
world.
Kevin. Sorry. Would you please?
Famous K-Rock. Ralph, your girlfriend Faith Hill looked pretty good last night in the Super Bowl game. I'll tell you that.
My girlfriend.
He says you've mentioned in the past how pretty you think she is, and I'm right there with you.
Well, she's attractive, but the country
thing
cancels her out.
You love that country music. That's what I hear.
At least she was dressed like a drum majorette. She had like epaulettes and big braids and big loops for buttonholes and everything. I said, who dressed her? 1985?
She's sound down to me.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Faith Hill? She's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Sings the wrong kind
of
music.
I thought Jennifer Hudson performed very well last night as well. I know it was lip sync and I know it was to a track and stuff, but I thought she sang great.
Sound. Yeah, I could sing great to her track, too. If I just had to hold a mic and lip sync, I'd sound great, too.
It's 6:55. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I'm sorry, there, Psycho Mike. I missed what you said.
DSL Extreme.
Oh, yeah. Major.
Yeah.
I was thinking last night during the halftime show, do you think that is the shortest period of time ever Bruce Springsteen has sung?
Yes.
Ever, right? It's got to be. When he sings lullabies to his kids tonight, he does a three-hour show. That's what I'm guessing. He comes in, and the kids are like, please, just let me go to sleep. Like, wait a minute, one more.
Once he took out the cameraman with his penis, he was awesome.
That was the best slide ever in the history of rock and roll. Just, that's what you get for being down there, Skippy.
Rammed the camera with it. That was awesome.
Yeah.
He did look like he was having a good time, though, as the boss does.
And I was thinking, who did little Steven eat? That's what I was thinking. He was a handkerchief wrapped around 400 pounds of flesh.
Really?
Yeah, they need to change his nickname from Little.
Yeah, really.
Anything else?
He's not into Sopranos fighting shape anymore.
No. He's on the Ben Roethlisberger diet. Ben's fat.
He's fat too, yeah.
He's fat.
Yeah.
Fat Ben.
Yep.
All right, it's Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Taken, the number one slot. $24.6 million made it number one, just ahead of Paul Blart and his freaking Segway. $14 million kept it at number two. The Uninvited was three. Hotel for Dogs came in at number four. Gran Torino was five. Slumdog Millionaire came in at number six with $7.7 million. Also had a pretty good weekend. It won the Directors Guild of America Award for Best Movie, which is saying something when you consider the competition it was up against. Danny Boyle won for that film, but he was up against David Fincher for Benjamin Button, Ron Howard for Frost Nixon, Christopher Nolan for Dark Knight, and Gus Van Sant for Milk. Pretty impressive lineup.
Yeah.
For Danny Boyle to beat out that crowd. Underworld, Rise of the Lycans was number seven. New in Town was eight. My Bloody Valentine 3D was number nine. Then Inkheart came in at number 10. Madonna's got a new boyfriend. Apparently, she is seeing a Brazilian model named Jesus Luz. The Luz. Let me just check his age here. Oh, 22. Yeah, he's 22. She's 50.
Wow.
Listen, ass. You're 22 and you're a Brazilian male model. Don't need to be banging beef jerky. You know what I'm saying?
You could have a woman.
You could have a full-blown woman with breastises and everything. Instead of that wizened old mummy that sings like a virgin.
Yeah.
What is he thinking?
I don't know.
Money changing hands, right?
I don't know.
Gotta be.
It is funny when you think about, you mentioned Like a Virgin. I mean, when that song was the number one record, this kid wasn't even born yet.
Good perk, that guy. What would he need him for?
Isla Fisher. He's got that new movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Confessions of a Shopaholic.
Yes. Yeah.
She's doing a lot of press.
She shops like crazy.
Oh, can't stop her.
She doesn't shop just
a
little.
It's as if she's addicted to shopping.
It's a lot.
It's like she's a shopaholic. Isla says that, is it Isla or Isla?
It's Isla.
Oh,
Isla.
Yeah, there you go. Isla Fisher says that since giving birth to her daughter Olive, her body is, and her quotes, not mine, essentially ruined.
Aww.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Fisher, for finally saying what we've all known all along.
Oh.
Hot-looking chicks should not have children.
Just farm it out?
Farm it out. A lot of ugly broads with nothing better to do, trust me. They're sitting around the home watching Tyra Banks eating bonbons. Let's put them to work.
But then you see a Cindy Crawford who looks stunning.
Yeah, but that's the exception.
That is the exception. It proves the rule.
Especially someone as attractive as Isla Fisher. There's no way she should even risk the chance that she might not bounce back.
No, you don't want to break that up. Mm-mm.
Did somebody order Mexican?
You guys seen the pictures of Rebecca Romijn since she had her kids? Since she had twins?
No.
I have not, no.
She had twins a month ago.
A month?
She looks,
A month.
As good as she, as good, every bit as good as she did before she got pregnant already. It's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
A month.
Lisa Loeb. Remember her?
Yeah.
Barely.
You say, I talk also all the time, so.
That many bells.
So.
You know I love her. Remember she sang the national anthem at Kevin and Bean Day at Dodger Stadium last year? Kevin, I got a chance to hang out with her. I love her so much. How dare you. She's awfully cute.
She's cute.
She's just cute.
I mean, there's just no way she gets more than one bell.
You can give her one.
If cute is a limbo stick, she just gets under it. You know what I'm saying? She just bends over enough just to get under the limbo stick. But that's
what's
just
going on with
it.
My girlfriend, Lisa Loeb? Don't tell me she got married.
Yeah, I got to go move on to another story now, I guess.
Whoa, whoa, what? Next. Hold on.
Lisa Loeb.
She promised she'd wait.
Got married to her boyfriend last Saturday night, Roy Hershkovitz. Mazel tov to both of you. Apparently 275 of their closest friends were in attendance, and they had a big old honking wedding. He's got an interesting job. He's the music supervisor of Late Night with Conan O'Brien. So congratulations.
I read about that last Friday. I love her so much. She looks like Tina Fey without the horrible scarring.
I do love Lisa Loeb.
And we don't care.
That's the thing you're missing. One who brought her
but
up.
You said it nine times now. Well, you
I'm
love Lisa
saying,
Loeb. Okay, we got
I'm
you.
Just saying she's awesome.
We got
all.
You nine times. Rescue Me. They were filming in New York City last Wednesday night when an actual fire broke out where they were shooting.
Thank goodness. You know?
Well, here's the thing.
Oh.
They employ lots of real firefighters as extras.
Mm-hmm.
So the cast and crew went over and started putting out the fire.
That's so cool.
They saved lives because they're actors. God bless them. Kevin, once again, celebrities coming to the rescue.
Tom Cruise there?
No, Tom wasn't available. He was so pissed, too. His Justice League alert went off, but they couldn't get there in time because the cruise mobile was stuck in traffic.
That's
so. Not his fault, by the way. He has no choice. He has to help if there's
He's
if there's
the
danger.
Only one that can.
He knows That's he's right. the only one who can. Yeah. Can you imagine the burden knowing you're the only guy who can do that? Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Farrah Fawcett is 62 years old today. I regret all the time I spent with myself and her poster now that I look at her. Wish I could take all that back.
It looked good forever.
Yeah, I know, but still. Dog the Bounty Hunter is 56 years old today. I do not regret the time I spent with myself looking at his poster. Yeah. He was a good-looking 56. Supermodel Christie Brinkley turns 55 years old today, and singer Shakira turns 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Sorry.
What are you doing? What's going on down there?
Oh, my God. That was weird.
I had the wrong set of headphones on, and I couldn't find them, and I tripped and fell. I don't know what's happening. I'm a little discombobulated.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Kevin was up late cursing God after his Arizona Cardinals lost in the Super Bowl, and therefore the $1,200 he expected to win on his early season bet in Las Vegas
evaporated.
But
let me ask you this. How good was it to have the great John Madden be the color commentator for the game?
Roethlisberger, pass time, throws to the back of the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown by Holmes.
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
That's it. Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Yes.
John offered a lot to that commentary.
Unbelievable.
Didn't he? That was really more Al Michaels than it was John Madden. But we do have the coach on the phone right now, whose NFL season is done, by the way. Coach Madden, welcome back to the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. How are you?
Pretty good. Actually, unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, right. Amazing.
Here's the thing. If I could say it, it's not very insightful.
No, it's the way you say it.
Oh, I see.
Unbelievable. Hear that? It's unbelievable. Not unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh.
There you go.
So, six is the magic number for the Pittsburgh Steelers, John. They have won more Super Bowls than any other team. Were you surprised, or did you pick the Steelers to win this one yesterday?
I thought these guys were going to win the game. I mean, it was either going to be them or the Cardinals, and I thought at the beginning it looked like it was going to be the Steelers, and then for a while it looked like it was going to be the Cardinals, and they were like, hey, I was right, it's going to be the Steelers, and it's I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but sometimes I get fixated on things during a game.
Occasionally.
Yeah, and yesterday I got fixated on big hands and strong hands.
Yeah.
And everybody on the team, I think, has big hands and strong hands. Larry Fitzgerald, he has big hands and strong hands. And,
sure.
And Roethlisberger has big hands and strong hands. And that's better than, I guess, having big hands and weak hands, and then you have a couple pancakes at the end of your arms. Which,
right.
That's pretty good. I mean, if you had pancakes at the end of your arms, I just have stumps.
John, I wanted to ask you about one observation that you made during the game, and perhaps you, now that we have a little bit more time, you don't have the pressure of actually, you know, calling the action. Maybe you can explain what you were talking about here.
Unbelievable. You know, could Kurt Warner do it? Could the Cardinals do it? Then they do it. You know, could the Steelers do it? Could Ben Roethlisberger do it? Then they did it.
What's that all about, John?
Well, I think Nike might have given me a couple bucks for that one. You know, because the end of it's just do it. That's the thing, is who can do it? Who can do it? It's not what you do, it's when you do it. And those guys were doing it when they needed to do it. And the guys who needed to do it last did it last. And the Pittsburgh Steelers did it when they needed to do it. And that proved that that's how you do it when you need to do it.
Well, when you put it that way, it makes it so much more clear. It's interesting, you know, 43 Super Bowls in to see something you've never seen before, but your thoughts on the 100-yard interception return for a touchdown by James Harrison?
I thought that was amazing. I thought, unbelievable, actually. Not only does he make the interception, but he makes the run back, and there's no time left, so it's all or nothing. And it was actually, it was two alls. That's the proof of doing it when you need to do it, because he had to make it all the way there. If he gets stopped short, it's not a touchdown and you don't get another chance. So he did it when he needed to do it. And that was just a guy doing it when he needs to do it.
That's a good point.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
John, I mentioned when we brought you on that your NFL season is over. You don't go to the Pro Bowl, and I assume it's because you can't take a bus there and you won't fly to Hawaii. Is that right?
Yeah. We couldn't put pontoons on there. They said that last night. Put a couple pontoons on there. I thought an aircraft carrier would be big enough, you know, that you wouldn't notice. Turns out I'm bigger than I thought.
Yeah. I don't think you would cause an aircraft carrier to sink, I think.
It might have happened, and that might be part of my problem, but let's not do it when we need to do it right now.
What do you think about the very talented actor Omar Epps, who also appears on the House TV show, being the coach of the Steelers and winning his game last night at only 36 years old?
Yeah, I thought at some point he would turn to House and say, "You're doing this wrong. You're going to kill the guy." You know what I mean? And then Cuddy would come in, and you'd wonder what was happening and why she was wearing such a tight dress for an executive in the hospital. But and I hope she does keep the baby, by the way. But this is just, you know, that is an amazing thing. And the youngest coach ever to win a Super Bowl. He was the youngest coach in a Super Bowl, and I was the youngest coach to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
And that, you know, that I'd rather be the youngest coach to win a Super Bowl than just be the youngest coach in a Super Bowl.
Right, but he was both, right?
Yeah, he is both now. It was just one of those.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now, you're more than twice his age, so is it time for you to start thinking about hanging it up, Mr. Madden?
No, I think three times his age. I think that's about three or four times. Yeah, I'll tell you what I was excited about was in the commercials. You ever watch the commercials on the Super Bowl?
Well, but we wouldn't expect you to watch them.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. That's why I go to the games. That's why I'm still doing this. I can't wait to see Land of the Lost. That's the one, you know, with Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell looks very funny. Yeah,
Will Ferrell, the funniest guy in the world. I tell you, but I just can't. The Sleaze Stack and Chaka and all that stuff. I mean, that's going to be unbelievable. I thought G.I. Joe looked good, and then Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition. I mean, that's going to be unbelievable.
I'm not surprised John would be excited about a movie called Land of the Lost, which is pretty much your life, huh, Coach?
It's like brain surgery for me.
Well, you did a good job, Coach. And
I thought we did pretty good. We held it together. We kept it together. And, you know, it, like I said, we just went out there and we did it when we needed to do it. And that's how we got it done.
I would have liked to have heard Al spend another 20 minutes talking about the plot of Jerry Maguire when they had Cuba Gooding on the screen. Other than that, though, I thought it was a fine performance, guys.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. He was going to talk about that. And I was going to, you know, I was going to try and bring out the rest of the lyrics to Land of the Lost.
Between the two of you, it was a great team.
I'm going to miss them. I'm going to miss them for the next few months. But then, boom, we come back next year and we do our thing again. And we don't have the Super Bowl, but we do have the season. And we do have Sunday nights. And every Sunday night, it's like, boom. I mean, Well, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't have anything good there.
Last week, you'll recall, we made a telephone call to a K-Rock listener and told her she was going to London to see U2. That was destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2009. As I understand the schedule, it is now time to announce destination number two. Am I right?
It is, yes. K-Rock's World Tour. Destination number two is The Killers.
Yes.
In Barcelona.
No.
Barcelona, Spain, that is.
Wow. That Barcelona. That's a good one.
You get on the standby boarding list all week long by winning your choice of Coachella tickets. You can take Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, whichever you want to see.
Cool.
Wow.
And then Friday morning, we're going to do a grand prize drawing and send somebody to Barcelona to see The Killers.
Barcelona.
I have been to Barcelona one time, and I was so excited by their topless beaches, because they have topless beaches kind of in the city. And until I saw that all of the grandmothers also go topless, and then you go, wow, they should be some kind of screening.
Kind of kills it, doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
It wasn't worth weeding through the grandmas to get to the granddaughters?
No.
Yeah. No, you know just why? Selectively choose where to look?
You know why? 10,000 grandmas, 5 granddaughters.
Yeah.
And a lot of grandpas, too.
A lot of grandpas as well, and you don't want to see any of that. But
what a difference your experience in Barcelona was to mine, because I went to Barcelona to go see the world's only captive albino gorilla. That was the high point of my trip when I was there.
Did you go to the topless beaches?
I didn't make it there. I did see Snowball, though, so it was pretty cool. So it's The Killers in Barcelona. You get on the standby boarding list. You also get your choice of Coachella tickets. Killers, by the way, of course, are headlining night number two, but you can choose any of the three nights that you want. So chance to win. What is it? What's going on?
What's up, everybody?
Why are you here, Spencer?
Because, I heard you guys were talking about my boy, Brandon Flowers and The Killers.
Yeah.
And,
he's your boy.
It's the World Tour. We're sending somebody to see The Killers in Barcelona.
World Tour.
It doesn't have anything to do with you or your stupid TV show, The Hills. We're talking about The Killers, the K-Rock music group.
Contraire, mon frère. If you don't remember, I pretty much wrote Human by The Killers.
Nope.
And
I
will be on the private jet with whatever winner and The Killers. I'll be going around the world with The Killers. I'll be there in Barcelona. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
I've already packed up all my Gucci, all my
it
jeans.
Doesn't make any sense,
my
bedazzler,
my
9mm
in case I got to straighten out some punks.
I'm sorry, did you say bedazzler?
You did.
Yeah.
Listen, Spencer, we're talking about The Killers, talking about Barcelona. It has nothing to do with you. There's not a private plane that the listeners get to go on with the band. None of that.
Oh, that's right. They're probably too poor. Only I get to ride on the PJ.
PJ is private jet?
Yeah.
I had no idea what that meant.
Well, now you've learned, Lika.
It's Lisa. What do you mean when you say the song that you wrote? I don't even understand what that claim is supposed to be about.
Hey, K-Dog. K-Dog, pop this in.
Am I K-Dog?
Yeah. Okay. Kendall, that's your name. I did my best with Lauren, but that bitch straight crossed the line. My girlfriend Heidi's skinny, and I'm rich, so I'm doing fine. Hey. Brody and Audrina both wish they could be me, but they can't. They're not sick. They gotta make more cash. I'm not human. I am Spencer. My jeans are Gucci. My goatee's blonde. I met all my friends on MySpace and Friendster. I live my life on TV, and that's the way that it should be. You need to film every single moment and put it out there for the world to see. Yeah. And sometimes I get nervous that my popularity will fade, but then I look in the mirror and I realize I'm not human, yeah. I am Spencer. I drive a Beamer. I bet you don't. And my pockets just seem to keep getting denser. Rich. I'm not human. I am Spencer.
All right, listen, this is about...
I'm always in the public sight.
Interrupt.
I'll be a lay-do-lay. got bottle service at the Palms. My new Malibu house was approved by the lenders. I'm not human. I am Spencer. My watch is Gucci. Heidi's boobs are huge. When it comes to bling, I'm like a dispenser.
Tuning in, this is talking about
mistake.
We're talking about K-Rock's World Tour Destination Number 2, which is the Killers in Barcelona.
Better believe it, boss.
You get to pick your night of Coachella if you qualify, which is coming up very soon. I would like to suggest that perhaps you need to sing that song on Saturday night in April.
At Coachella?
Yes.
At Coachella?
I would suggest that you don't talk to anybody about it. You just get there, just show up, and rush the stage.
I bet I could, you know, I'm a big enough star, they'll probably just usher me on stage.
You
right
think
there
so?
Oh,
the
sure. I'm sure they will.
I'd like to see that if you don't mind.
I bet it'll happen.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:37.
Just announced moments ago, K-Rock's World Tour 2009 Destination Number 2, The Killers in Barcelona. Hey, when do you get a chance to get on that standby boarding list and win the Coachella tickets? What's
this morning?
The first opportunity to do that?
This morning at some point.
Okay.
Yep. Right. I'm pretty sure before the end of our show.
So
at some
keep
point.
Listening to K-Rock for a chance to do that. And the grand prize drawing is on Friday. Kevin, who's your friend on the phone?
Shepard's a pretty amazing watch for what he can do with his size on a skateboard.
Yeah, man, last year was amazing in the pre-qualifiers I got first.
Do you honestly think someone's going to pay you to ride a skateboard?
You know what? The Dew Tour did.
He's got all the ingredients the judges like to see. The speed, the line, the degree of difficulty, and the style. The way he looks on his board, it's art.
I skated Slam City as an amateur and then turned pro after I won that.
The ladies really like him. I don't really understand why. I mean, but anyway, this name's Ryan Sheckler.
That's he's nice. Only been skateboarding since he was 18 months old, by the way, so he ought to be good at it by now. That's what I have to say. And Ryan joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Ryan, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. Thank you.
You win or lose any money on the Super Bowl yesterday?
You know what? I didn't win or lose any money at all, actually. I didn't really have a team I was rooting for, so we kind of just had a little Super Bowl party at my house. And
just hang out with your
friends.
Very cool. Well, the reason Ryan is on today is for a very special cause, and it's a very unusual thing, maybe something you wouldn't automatically associate with Ryan. It's happening at the Grove of Anaheim on February 6th, which is what? That's
this Friday.
Like Friday night.
Friday. Yep.
What's the event all about, Ryan?
Well, you know, we wanted to put I love UFC Friday. I love watching the fights. So we decided as a group and as a foundation that we wanted to throw, you know, a fight. So we called it the Ryan Sheckler Fight for a Cause, and, you know, we're bringing out a bunch of pro fighters, and Jason Ellis, who actually is a pro skateboarder, this is his first professional fight, so, you know, we're giving people opportunities to fight, and we're working with Talk About Curing Autism, and we're working with Road to Recovery, so, you know, those are two of my favorite foundations, and, you know, I just love giving back, I love helping people, and, you know, this fight on Friday is going to be huge. Little John's playing the after show, so it's just going to be a good time. A lot of friends and a lot of good people.
The Road to Recovery, for people that don't recognize that, is they provide financial assistance to seriously injured motocross or supercross athletes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, I'm a big fan of supercross, and I've always raced dirt bikes, and, you know, I love everyone in the motocross industry. So, yeah, you know, giving back to them is just as much fun for me to give back to, you know, now these skaters and these families. That
now, like, Travis Pastrana is going to be there, right? And Brian Deegan?
Oh, yeah.
You should
get
them in the ring. You should get them in the ring just as a, you know,
you know
a warm-up.
We tried for so long, and, you know, we had actually a bunch of funny fights that were supposed to happen, but it got a little too serious, and it's a serious fight card, so they had to pull back the reins.
There aren't enough funny fights for my taste.
I'm so sorry to hear you say that, Ryan, because I was really looking forward to Steve-O and Dakota Fanning. I know that was talked about at one point. Now, let's talk about your friend Jason Ellis for just a second. Why does a guy, I can tell from your enthusiasm that you're into one, you know, you're a professional in one sport, but that doesn't mean you don't love all the other sports. And I guess it's the same with Jason, but it's one thing to enjoy watching MMA. What makes him want to fight it?
It's definitely an adrenaline rush. You know, training mixed martial arts is a lot of fun. And, you know, we put the whole gym in my third story or in the downstairs of my house. So, you know, I think for us skateboarders, it's also a good workout too. You know, it helps with flexibility. It makes it a lot easier to skate and a lot easier to fall. So
it sounds like you're training. Are you doing that kind of training?
Yeah, I've been doing that kind of training for a few years now.
And so, are you going to fight Friday night?
No. I'm recovering right now. I got full reconstructive elbow surgery about 5 days ago.
Ouch. All right.
Oh, dude. Are you going to be all right?
Yeah. I'll be good. About 5 weeks back on the board. No problem.
Is this the first time they've ever had an MMA event at the Grove of Anaheim?
I'm pretty sure it is, because I've never heard of it before.
They've had professional boxing there a lot. Oh wait, no, they haven't had anything like that.
where do people go to get tickets for the Fight for a Cause Friday night fight?
You can go to Ticketmaster.com. You can go to GroveOfAnaheim.com, or you can just go to RyanSchreckler.com and pick up some tickets and come down and enjoy this fight with us.
How'd you hook up with Little John? How is he your entertainment? And are you guys going to be sharing a pimp cup, or do you get your own?
I'll get my own pimp cup, but me and Little John are—I don't know—we're good friends from actually years ago. I met him at X Games, I think, when I was 13. The year I won the gold medal, so I've known him for years.
You should fight Little John.
Oh, that I'd like to see. If Ryan were hurt right now, that would be the best.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll heal up, and that'll be our second fight.
That'd be awesome.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, a great event to get a chance to see some MMA up close and personal. And, of course, you mentioned Brian Deegan is going to be there, and Travis Pastrana, and our friend Ryan Scheckler, and all the other names of people that you mentioned that are on the bill. It's going to be this Friday night at the Grove of Anaheim. RyanScheckler.com for all the details. Get your tickets to Ticketmaster this Friday night at 7 o'clock. Ryan, heal up, man. Always great to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Hey! No, not there. There's certain songs that lend themselves. Because you can just tell.
How do you know?
Sense.
Whatever.
And guess what? He's playing at Coachella. He's playing the third night on April 19th.
No, I don't think the Toadies are playing Coachella.
Toadies are going to be at Coachella?
I don't think that's so.
I can't wait for Coachella.
7:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Listen, you wizened old doofus. It's Coachella. Coachella.
Hey, if he says
how many goddamn years you've been on the radio?
If he Coachella. Says it's Coachella, it's Coachella.
No, it's not.
Hmm. I'm with Rodney on this one.
She's playing, actually, day two of Coachella.
It's not Carchella. It's not Coachella. 18.
I don't know what that was.
It's Coachella.
It's a grab bag with him every time he says it.
I was confused, Rodney. Which Paul McCartney is playing? Because I don't know which one we're talking about here.
Paul McCartney from the Beatles at Coachella.
Oh, the one from the Beatles. That okay, thank you
not
for clarifying.
Coachella.
That guy. What would he need him for?
Seriously.
he couldn't get the weenie roast right. Remember that? He couldn't even get our concert right.
Well, that's three or four words. This is one word.
Yeah.
Coachella.
There's no R in there.
It's spelled pretty much like Coachella.
The amazing weenie roast, yay, fiesta.
Ye fiesta.
Well, there are foreign words in there, them yees and fiesses. He said, this is Coachella. This is an American word.
He has said Carchella. They all involve an R. Carchella.
Corchella.
Corchella, right.
Yachtchella. I thought it was the weirdest one. Yachtchella. That was just strange.
That's right. Turn on that cassette. Press what? Record.
Okay.
What?
All right. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office this weekend, shall we? Taken took the number one position.
How do you like me now?
$24.6 million. Liam Neeson kicking major ass. A lot of people went. Paul Blart, Mall Cop, was number two at the box office.
Kicking major ass, a lot of people went.
Inexplicably, $14 million additional dollars it made this weekend. The Uninvited was third, then Hotel for Dogs, Gran Torino. Slumdog Millionaire was also won the best film, according to the Directors Guild of America this weekend. Underworld, Rise of the Lycans, New in Town, My Bloody Valentine, and Inkheart rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Ah, sad news.
What?
I thought he really had a shot. Steven Adler, remember him? Former drummer for Guns N' Roses. Maybe you saw him on Celebrity Rehab.
And now he's in Sober House.
Is he? Yep. Actually, now he's in jail, Lisa.
Okay. Well, he's had his troubles.
Busted again on a drug charge. Cops say Adler was arrested on January the 26th and charged with being under the influence of a controlled substance, a misdemeanor. No word on exactly what the substance was, but I'm thinking a combination of Drano, Sterno, and other things that end in O.
Wow.
No court date has been set yet, but
he brought heroin to Sober House.
Yes, he did.
That happened
on TV.
Into Sober House. The first word is sober. He was.
He thought he was going to Heroin Hotel. It was a different.
That hotel rips.
Different. It's a great hotel.
Is that a good one?
Although room service takes forever because the waiters are always nodding off down in the kitchen.
And it's only Abba Zabba's and peanut butter.
That's right. That's all you can get. Orange juice and Snickers bars. Hilary Duff has signed on to star in a new version of Bonnie and Clyde. I mentioned this last week. Bonnie and Clyde in the 60s, 1967 version with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, is largely considered to be one of the seminal films in terms of the new cinema that happened in the late 60s, early 70s. Faye Dunaway, who was an Oscar winner, by the way, was asked about the casting, and I think she's on board. She responded with just one sentence. Couldn't they at least cast a real actress?
Oh, that hurt.
So it sounds like she's looking forward to the remake and will probably be there. Yep. On opening night.
I'd like to play her.
Okay.
Hey, take it easy.
The Gossip Girl cast. Boy, do they know how to party. Oh. That Chase Crawford and Leighton Meester. Are names that sound fictional. They were at a place in New York City called Brother Jimmy's last Thursday night and apparently had quite the good time up in the private room upstairs at the bar. Here's the only thing. When they all left at 2 a.m., no one had bothered to pay the tab.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
The New York Post, page 6, says owners are none too pleased that they gave them the private room and no one bothered to pick up the tab. The tab was, by the way, $500, to which I say, you are weak, cast of Gossip Girl. No if kidding. You're in a private room in a bar and you only ring up a $500 tab.
Ralph can do that in an hour by himself.
No doubt.
Keep this party going.
The couple that stays naked together stays married together. I guess. Star Magazine reports that Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey spent all their free time at home in the nude.
Yes, I'll give her a plug.
Which is a great visual when you think about Jenny, but not so much when you think about Jim Gumby Carrey.
He makes those funny faces, though.
He does. I wonder how he talks out of his ass when he's around the house in the buff. I'm going to get a drink out of the kitchen. You want something? Just grabbing his ass cheeks. That would be so annoying.
Girls love sex.
Yeah, okay. Life. Easy, Corchella. New celebrity couples, according to Star Magazine. You may or may not have heard about these Hollywood couplings. Josh Lucas, who I call the poor man's Matthew McConaughey, dating Rachel McAdams.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice job, that's Josh Lucas.
Cool.
It is pretty cool, yeah. Jane Krakowski, you know her from 30 Rock. She's very funny on that show.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Not so much funny when she's doing acceptance speeches at award shows, but funny on that show. She is currently dating Aaron Sorkin.
Wow.
You're kidding.
Our buddy who created
The West Wing.
West Wing and Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Very talented writer and producer. So that's an interesting combo. And MTV has announced they're getting back into the fashion game. Apparently they're going to relaunch House of Style. Remember House of Style? It was a fashion show.
I never really watched that.
With an MTV bent that was hosted by Cindy Crawford. Sort of her largest profile on television. They're bringing the show back, and word is that Bar Raffaelli will be the host that show. And that's good.
Yeah, that's way good.
You're all excited about a fashion show, really?
Well,
would you watch
it? I'm excited about Bar Raffaelli being on the television set. I don't know if she can speak English or not.
I don't.
But. Well, you need to find out.
Yeah, okay, do yourself a little research and you'll see why it's good.
It's still a fashion show.
It's still Bar Raffaelli, though. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
She's enough to make me convert.
Yeah. To fashion?
No, to Judaism.
Oh.
She's an Israeli supermodel. I wonder if she had to do any time in the army. Don't they all have to do time
they
in the
do.
Army? Everybody in Israel?
Yeah.
I'd like to be in her platoon. You know what I'm saying?
No.
What are you saying?
I'd like to
you want to serve
fix
with her?
Her bayonet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Love it.
I don't even know what that means. And congratulations. Oh, Dave's upset.
Uh-oh.
They gave away the 36th Annual Animation Awards Friday night in Hollywood. Best Animated Film of the Year, according to the Animation Awards, Kung Fu Panda.
No.
Yeah, beat out Wally. Beat out Wally.
Wrong! Stupid director. What are they? Anime Awards?
Animation Awards, yes.
All right, thanks, Dave.
They're called the Annies.
We'll take it from here.
But thanks for your input, Dave.
No. Stupid whoever they are.
Oh, stupid director of what? Anime Awards? What are they called? Yeah, apparently everyone was surprised that Kung Fu Panda took home the big award.
Yeah.
Stupid movie. I didn't even see it. But Dave, you love pandas. Not animated ones.
That conversation happened, by the way.
That actually
that
happened.
Did happen.
Nobody loves pandas more than Dave.
That's
has
right.
Panda shirts, has a panda
watches
birth certificate.
Panda
he's
a
watching
webcam.
The panda. He's yep. actually sponsoring a panda in Bangladesh or something whose family can't feed him. He's all about the pandas.
Yep.
Wouldn't go see Kung Fu Panda. Refused.
Yeah.
As if it was an insult.
Yeah. That was made stupid. For him.
I'm not going to see a stupid like Wally. Celebrity birthdays. Singer Shakira is 32 years old today. You know what I've heard about her hips?
What?
Incapable of telling a lie.
No kidding.
That's really?
Heard, yeah. Touch me, I'm going to scream.
Supermodel Christie Brinkley is 55 years old. Dog, the bounty hunter Chapman, is 56 years old today. Every time I was at a wedding where Dog, the bounty hunter, was there and he was wearing his handcuffs on his belt.
Yeah.
In case,
wow.
In case he spotted a felon in the
at the wedding.
In the wedding in the church or something, in the audience, they could just whip him out.
Hey, that guy does meth. Let's take him down.
Hey, wait a minute. Remember that pastor looks familiar to me. He's wanted. And actress Farrah Fawcett turned 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Hey, there was something on the TV yesterday. Maybe you guys didn't see. It wasn't talked about much, but it was a football game.
Nope.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers become the first franchise in history to win 6 Super Bowls.
Now, that means a couple things. A, Kevin, who wisely put $20 down on his Arizona Cardinals before the season began at 60-1 odds, did not win $1,200 because of what happened 35 seconds from the end of the game.
And it's already gone.
And you've already spent
that
money,
may
right?
not have been smart.
And B, the guy we had on from EA, the guys who make Madden football video games,
yeah.
He predicted, he said they ran that game and the Steelers would win by 4. And he was right on.
Yeah, but none of that matters because this Sunday is the real matchup that people are excited about with the Pro Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Eli Manning, who, of course, was the Super Bowl MVP winner when his team, the Giants, overtook the New England Patriots last year in the Super Bowl, is going to be at the Pro Bowl this weekend. But we got him on the phone with us right now to talk about the big weekend he just had down there in Tampa. Hey, Eli.
Hi.
How are you, buddy?
Hi, I'm Eli.
Hi.
Yes.
How are you?
I am ready to play the Pro Bowl.
Okay, well, that'll be this coming weekend.
Go Pros!
Go Pros.
We're going to beat those amateurs so bad.
Yeah, you don't play amateurs. You just play. It's the All-Star game for the NFL, basically, but it's after the season, so no one cares.
Everyone cares. It's the biggest game of the year. They told me that's why they put it in Hawaii.
That's what I meant, yes. It's the biggest game of the year.
Whatever with the stupid bowl. That's what I call it. It's Pro Bowl. That's what everyone wants to see.
Sure. Well, you just keep on believing that, son, if that's what you need to do. I felt kind of bad. I felt kind of bad for you because last year you were playing and winning the Super Bowl, and this year I saw you on Saturday on the DirecTV Celebrity Beach Bowl, and you were participating in that.
Yes, I was MVP of the Beach Bowl.
And that means what, Eli?
It means I got a free virgin daiquiri.
It was wow.
delicious.
That's quite a payoff.
Yes. I'm Eli.
What about all the playmates out there in the sand on Saturday? Eli, do you get a chance to talk to any of the pretty girls?
Stop it.
You still nervous around them?
I'm married. I'm a married man.
Yeah.
Right?
That means I only have one vagina for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's correct.
Sadly, that's the case, yes.
That's horrible. You won the Super Bowl?
No, sort of. Yeah.
I watched a Super Bowl yesterday at a big party.
You watched it, yeah?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was me and Peyton Manning. And Dad Archie.
Archie Manning, mm-hmm. Yes.
And Michael Phelps was there. And he gave me this crazy straw. It's crazy.
And did you drink out of it?
No, you don't even drink out of it. It's on fire.
What?
Yes. You drink it like a straw and you put it on fire.
Did that feel? Oh, he still got the straw there, huh?
You lie?
I say, that's quite a remarkable experience when you have really changes your perspective on everything.
What happened?
I couldn't help but notice in the second half of the game yesterday the enormous amount of work that was done by the Cardinals' offensive coordinator was finding a way to find, once again, Larry Fitzgerald. Where they had previously run him on the outside, they ran him on the inside.
Right.
That was quite clever play
Can
calling on that part.
Can you put Eli back on the phone? We were talking to Eli Manning a minute ago.
Gentlemen, this is Eli Manning.
Where'd you get the accent?
Yeah, why a British accent?
I'm sure I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, you look like a mouth breather in pretty much every picture we've ever seen, and we've talked to you a bunch, and you sound like it as well.
Yes.
One bong rip, and all of a sudden you're Laurence Olivier? What's going on here?
Well, apparently this is a quite mind-expanding product that Michael Phelps has, and I think I've never felt better. I don't feel so good.
What just happened?
Guys! Guys, I need help!
Is it wearing off?
Oh.
Take another hit.
Oh, I'm so stoned, I think. Help me.
Definitely doesn't work. That's definitely not a song you need to hear.
Well, how do you tell?
Doesn't need hand claps.
All right.
Pointless. 8:21 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Super Bowl Sunday was yesterday. K-Rock had a big party at the, where were you? The Hard Rock at Universal. Is that right, Psycho Mike?
Yes. Psycho Mike was hosting, and my man Lightning was there.
Oh, man.
We forget, because he was our producer for a long time. He still works here, but he works on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget sometimes what magic he is.
Yep.
There was a commercial yesterday and an interview, by the way, for Fast and the Furious. And it looks like a good special effects movie, but Vin Diesel's back in, and that makes me less excited about it.
Totally.
Here's
How
a little...
poorly are things going for Vin Diesel and Paul Walker that they both agreed to come back? Because they both sat out the last couple of movies, but all of a sudden, Fast and the Furious 4, now they're in, right?
Oh, it's the script, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, so that part of the commercial airs. Mike, describe Lightning for us, would you?
Okay. So I have a microphone so that I could talk to everybody in the house if I need to do any giveaways or whatnot. Lightning sees them pan out from the cars as you hear the engines revving.
A lot has changed.
He reaches over, grabs the mic out of my hand.
That's my favorite thing that Lightning does, is grabs a microphone and then yells at the top of his lungs. Because
that's right, as he doesn't need a microphone at that point if he's yelling at the top.
Right.
So, you know each other?
All right, so the commercial goes on. There's a lot of car racing, a lot of explosions. It looks like a special effects movie.
So then he says, best movie of 2009? You're looking at it. And follows up with the best quote I've ever heard, ever.
Okay, so best movie of 2009. All right, you're excited about it. Lightning just stepped in the studio.
Yes, I am.
And then he says, and I quote, welcome back, Mr. Diesel.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, my God.
How is Vin Diesel your focus in that movie? That movie is all special effects.
Yes, it
and
is.
Cars. Yeah.
Welcome back, Mr. Diesel.
I had a few shots at that point.
Lightning doesn't go to the movies, by the way.
No.
I guarantee Lightning hasn't seen Benjamin Button. He hasn't seen Gran
Torino.
Nope. He hasn't seen any of those movies, but this is the one, right?
I'm there. My butt is in that seat opening night.
In his defense, he did go to Gran Torino because he thought it was about a car, and then he left right away. When you realize that it wasn't. How do you not? I can understand how you're excited about that movie because there's a lot of car special effects, a lot of racing, a lot of stunt work.
Right.
How is your first thing, welcome back, Mr. Diesel?
You know what?
Because his name is Diesel, and that's car related.
I think
Kevin.
Because his career went a little astray.
Okay.
And then now he's back. This is what made him.
No, we were aware he's back in the movie. We got that part. We're asking, why were you so excited
How
to see him?
How is that your focus? Why do you not say, looks great, a lot of... First of all, why do you grab the microphone out of Mike's hand and yell?
Why does that have any idea? That has to do with drinking.
You don't have
that has to
any
do.
Bass in your voice. You add a microphone to that and full volume, and people are bleeding from their ears.
No, they had subwoofers. They were okay in there.
Technology has been able to fix lightning.
This movie, though, this Fast and the Furious, just like with all the other movies, it doesn't matter who the actors are. They're completely interchangeable.
No, that's just not true.
What are you talking
about? Like number two, three, and whatever, they all sucked.
Right, but they sucked because of their own script or whatever. They didn't suck because Vin Diesel wasn't in it.
That and they didn't have the original cast.
It had Paul Walker, though, didn't it? Didn't they have Paul?
I think the second one did.
I think the second one had Paul. The third one had neither. And then the fourth one has them both coming back.
Welcome back,
Mr. Diesel.
Really? I just can't believe you're so invested in this series of movies, though. This isn't like, oh, thank God Harrison Ford is putting the fedora back on.
I'm not that invested in. I didn't see 2, 3, or if there was a 4, I didn't see 4. I'll see this one.
Because Vin Diesel's in it.
But again, let's take for granted that you're into it.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
How is Vin Diesel at the top of the list of things you're excited about this movie? Even if you're excited about it.
It was good and it was cheesy, the first one, and I don't know. I'm in. Come on. You're the guy that sees crap movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I see them and I know what they are. Like, this particular movie is all about stunt driving.
Yes.
So that's why I go. There's no possible way I would shout, welcome back, Mr. Diesel.
This is how I know Lightning was truly excited, because I was sitting with Lightning most of the time. And for instance, when the Land of the Lost commercial came on, he said, oh, that looks cool.
Looks good, right?
And he just said that to me. When the G.I. Joe commercial came on, yeah, that's
looked
awesome.
Good.
Transformers
look great.
I love Transformers 1. What great special that talking normal human discussion. When those cars panned out, you could see the neon lights underneath, you know, the Supra or whatever it was.
I'm getting excited to sing about it.
Yeah.
A lot has changed.
They asked Vin Diesel in the pre-show, they asked him what's changed, what's a lot? And he said, everything. And
nothing's
that's the guy
changed.
That Lightning's excited
nothing's
about.
Changed.
Welcome back, Mr. Diesel.
Lightning can be deadly. Don't take chances with Lightning. Stay safe.
You don't even call him Vin.
No,
you call him Mr. Diesel.
He deserves a certain level of respect, Kevin.
Come on.
Show your proper reverence.
What happened to you? Those other three movies look head and shoulders above this one.
Yeah, they will be.
But you know what?
Didn't have Vin Diesel.
What do you want me to do? I'm just excited about it. I realize it's going to be stupid. It'll be a bad
Lightning,
movie.
A big issue in some spots.
Right, but I'm saying on the list of things that are exciting about it, isn't Vin at the bottom?
No.
Car racing, stunt driving, explosions.
He's right there in with the
special
cars.
Effects. He
is? Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Well, welcome back, Mr. Diesel.
Yeah.
Maybe Puppy Lake. That's all I'm saying.
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
No.
It's the Kevin Abid Show on K-Rock. Congratulations to Kathy Abarra from Monterey Park, who, by the way, sounds like she has the right kind of name to maybe win the grand prize drawing we do Friday to send you to Barcelona to see the Killers in concert. That's destination number 2 of K-Rock's World Tour 2009. She's in the drawing for that, and she's already won her choice of Coachella tickets. And I think she picked night number 2 this Saturday night.
She did.
And she will see the Killers that night. So your chance to win coming up here on the Kevin Abid Show on K-Rock. I don't think Puppy Lake is the answer, because they're only 6 months old, and we still got time to work with them on some of the
another week or two?
No, I think we got more than that. I got puppy problems, you guys.
Yeah.
Not a surprise.
There's no way I could have predicted that bringing 3 puppies into the home at the same time was going to be a lot of work. I couldn't have seen that coming.
That's true. That's a total shock, especially when you have 3 other dogs,
mm-hmm.
bringing your total to 6.
That did shock me. But the problem that I'm having is now that Veruca, who's a little girl who just turned 6 months old, now that she is getting bigger and stronger, she is starting to really challenge the older dog in the house, Tater Tot, who's almost 10. And, you know, she's jumping on her and biting her, and it's kind of ugly and kind of scary, and I'm pretty stressed out about it. And we got a lot of behavioral issues to work through with Veruca to try to make that not happen. And I don't know. You promised me today you had some sort of help for me. I don't know what you were talking about.
I do.
But I could sure use a suggestion.
Have the great Cesar Milan.
Oh, Cesar.
The dog whisperer's on the phone?
On the phone.
Yes.
Buenos días, Kevin. How are you?
Cesar, you're my hero. I watch your show all the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, did you hear? First of all, what's going on with your dogs at your house, Cesar?
Hold on. One moment. I'm not in my house. I'm at the kennel where I work. My office.
At the kennel? Okay.
Hey, Pito, come here. Ahí.
What?
What did you just do?
What was that?
What did you do?
I got a new 9-iron I was trying out.
Caesar? This is Caesar.
The little chihuahua, and he needs to understand that I'm in charge.
But on the show, you just go, all you do is go, and then all the dogs just stop barking.
It's the magic of special effects and camera work. They can edit out all the real hard work that I do with the dogs to train them to understand that I'm in charge.
Is this Caesar Milan?
Yes.
The dog whisperer.
All right. Here's the short version of my problem, Caesar. Is there any way you can get Omar to turn the dog sound effects down at all?
Omar, come here. I have something for you.
Ow!
What did you do, Caesar?
I
nine iron,
and I put it right to his forehead.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Here's the problem. I've got a 6-month-old female who now is challenging the superiority of the 10-year-old female in the house. And, of course, the 6-month-old is younger and faster and stronger, and it's gotten very ugly, very tense around my house. I want to figure out a way to put her back in line. What do you recommend, Caesar?
Well, with females, a lot of times, first thing I recommend is maybe tell all her friends she's pregnant out of wedlock.
What are you talking
about? That doesn't make any sense. She's a dog. She's already been spayed.
But,
she's not.
Girls hate that. They get very embarrassed. They think all their friends think she's a slut or a whore or something like that. And then she will be very unhappy. And then you say, ha, I got you.
You know, okay, but we're talking about dogs, not people.
Of course. I'm the dog whisperer. Am I a horse whisperer, human whisperer? No, dog.
Okay.
Dog whisperer. Right.
Only
no, she's not going to get married or anything like that, so that's not going
to
work. I cannot guilt her or embarrass her.
A lot of times, see, the problem with you Americans is you have a friendship type relationship with your pet. You need to understand it's owner and pet. And you're in charge. You can't overly coddle your parent, your pets too much. So
But
maybe try breaking up some glass in her doggy food. Get it real fine.
No. What are you talking about?
The dogs hate that.
Dogs die from that.
I've watched the dog whisperer many times. There's no possible way.
A lot of times, if you want to embarrass the male doggies, you know what they don't like? When they're having their own private the male doggy time, you know what I'm saying? They are excited. Maybe they get the lipsticks out and they're ready to have a private time.
Right? Yes. Where are you going with this?
You hide, call over a bunch of your friends. And then you sit and you watch, and right when they're about to really have the big part,
right?
You jump out and go, ha ha, got you. We're watching.
That doesn't make any sense at all. You can't.
And then they get very embarrassed.
They don't care.
People don't like that.
Is this Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer?
Next time they have too much to drink, maybe they pass out. Draw wieners on their face, and then you take pictures and you put it on, like maybe a website like
Facebook.
Hot Chicks with Douchebags, Facebook, one of these websites, and they go, oh, they hate that.
Caesar, I need something that I can do for little Veruca that will make her understand that it's not okay for her to fight with the other dogs in the house. What can you help me with that?
This is something I was going to debut in my new book. What you
what's
do?
The, I'm sorry, what's the name of your book? How do you spell that?
T?
Yes.
S?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
H?
I don't know what that is.
Etch,
right?
Etch.
Okay.
Etch. Listen, what you do is you get a sewing kit, perhaps.
A sewing kit? Yes.
Sewing kit, okay.
I don't like where this is going already.
You sew her butthole shut.
Oh, come on, Caesar.
God.
But continue.
What are you talking about?
Continue to give her fiber.
Well, she's just going to burst. That's not going to help anything.
She'll be very unhappy, though, and she'll realize you are the trendsetter, the trailblazer. You will be the prom queen. You will be in charge. You will be the alpha dog.
Mike, would you guess this is going to be as funny when Caesar sues?
Probably not.
Okay, just joking.
Come on. This is the Kevin and Bean Show of the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. It's 8:49.
Did you guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a blind guy?
Actually, yeah, we did. We saw that. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat Final 1 for the morning show. What's going on, Ralph?
How's it going over there, Kevin? How's your side of the board working today?
What's rough weekend today?
I'm having a rough weekend.
Are you still loaded?
Well, on Saturday, I got burned beyond recognition, sunburned. And then on Sunday, that whole thing happened. And then I didn't sleep much, and so now I'm in tip-top shape.
Wow. Kevin was out in the sun some on Saturday, and the way he was telling the story earlier, it was like someone had lit fire to a Q-tip. That's how his body and his head felt.
Yeah, everybody else was fine, but my head was so on fire. My gigantic head was like providing shade for everyone on the field, and it was just me soaking in the sun.
I can see why that happens, because usually with your you know, your olive swarthy skin, you're so used to just tanning and you never burn, so you wouldn't think to put any sunblocker on, because ordinarily you never burn.
Couldn't sleep Saturday night.
You go off like 35 millimeter film in the sun.
Yeah.
And his head's so big he can't wear a hat.
It was,
then you have to carry an umbrella.
It was an ugly weekend.
Yes, he does.
You're Michael Jackson. You won't wear a hat even if it keeps the sun off your face, Kevin?
I should make a note. Get Bukkake healed. All right.
It's not going to help that enormous forehead of yours.
I was so angry.
They don't make shields that big.
You need a constant umbrella, like a Harajuku girl. You just need to walk around like that.
Saturday night, it was about midnight, and I was so pissed off because my wife was laughing uncontrollably at the pain that my face was causing me.
She's a nice broad.
Because this happens to me every time, and I'm such a freaking idiot that I wouldn't see it coming. I don't know.
Doesn't mean you can't expect a little sympathy from your wife. No. That's all I'm saying.
She found that funny as hell. Yeah,
well. But your face has caused her pain for years.
Being with a little variation on, is your face all right? It's killing me. A little playground humor coming off of Bean.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Well deserved.
I know you are, but what am
I? I'm rubber and you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you.
Yeah, so.
Did you guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high five a blind guy?
Yeah, I heard that. We heard that's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
You have time?
Really?
Yeah.
You sure?
Nothing but.
52, dude.
All right.
Nothing but.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office then, shall we? Taken was number one at the box office. Liam Neeson as an ex-spy who has to rescue his daughter. Looks awesome. I didn't get a chance to catch it this weekend, but a lot of people did. $24.6 million made it number one.
Just way, way above expectations for that film, I guess.
Was it?
Yeah.
Paul Blart Mall Cop came in at number two, $14 million. Still, all the Paul Blart people haven't seen it yet. You kidding me? All the people who are going to see Paul Blart Mall Cop haven't already found their way to the local multiplexes down by the trailer park where they live.
Ralph,
and seen
gonna,
it.
Are you going to take your life when this becomes one of the top 10 of all time?
It's not going to be. It's not going to be that bad, but it's bad enough. The Uninvited was number three. Hotel for Dogs was four. Gran Torino, five. Slumdog Millionaire came in at number six. Then Underworld, Rise of the Lycans, New in Town, My Bloody Valentine, and Inkheart rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Well, Kevin, you may have been disappointed with the results of yesterday's big game.
Yeah, just a bit.
However, people in Phoenix did get a little something for their trouble as they were watching the Super Bowl. Apparently, people there watching the Super Bowl who had Comcast cable were treated to about 10 full seconds of hardcore pornography during the game. Right after the touchdown was scored by Fitzgerald.
After the Arizona touchdown, when they took the lead for the first time.
When they took the lead.
2.5 minutes left.
Suddenly, the broadcast cut to about 10 seconds of hardcore pornography.
Why didn't mine do that?
I don't know. You don't live in Phoenix. You don't have Comcast.
Wow.
Does anybody need that much porno?
As you can imagine, heads are spinning. People are running naked in the street on fire. They're shooting guns off at each other. It's just all madness now because someone saw some naked people.
How does something like that even happen? I have no idea how television is set up, but I don't understand how a mistake like that could happen.
They are investigating. NBC says not our bad. The feed from us to them, to the cable company, was clean.
Has to be a hacker or something. Somebody that figured out how to...
Or, you know, cable networks have a lot of programming going on all at once.
A bad switcher or something?
Something must have happened in the big dish room where somebody beamed a little hoo-ha to the people watching football.
I would have rather watched
just
that.
Just stop and get a life. Porn's not even good anyway.
Would have rather watched that than the last 2.5 minutes of the game. I'll tell you that right now.
That was a different kind of effed was going on at the end of that game.
Not pleasurable.
Not the good effing. Already parents are up in arms because their kids saw people naked. So, as you can imagine, all hell's breaking loose. We haven't heard the end of this. I guarantee. Evan Rachel Wood is telling the world she never hooked up with Mickey Rourke. Please stop saying that.
I don't blame her a bit if it's not true.
The 21-year-old actress told RollingStone.com that she does not find Mickey Rourke attractive. A, because he's way too old for her. B, because she's just not attracted to him. And C, because she's now sort of angry with him because he has done nothing to dispel the rumors that they are hooking up.
Why would he?
That's what I'm saying.
It for him.
Someone comes up to me and says, hey, I heard you guys are banging. I'm like, you can believe whatever you like. Wink, wink, wink. She also feels disrespected by the press for running those stories.
Come on.
You work in Hollywood. You're aware of that, right? She did date Marilyn Manson, by the way.
That happened.
Who is 40.
Yeah.
And she's 21, so wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities to find that she has a thing for an older guy, but she's saying Mickey Rourke is not the one.
For anyone.
She's also saying people shouldn't be taking advantage of her just because she's single.
What does that mean?
Well, they're making up stories about who she's dating because she doesn't have a steady boyfriend or husband or anything, so they can just pair her up with whoever they seem fit to make the
best statements story. Like that that make people say women are stupid.
Yeah. Super hot Eliza Dushku is in trouble with PETA.
Uh-oh.
Which now makes her my favorite actress on the planet. She, of course, will be starring in Dollhouse soon on Fox, which looks like a great TV series. She was on Jimmy Kimmel the other night, and she admitted to Jim that one of her favorite hobbies is hunting. She said she probably eats everything she bags. There's a joke there that I just can't go for. New York Post says now the animal rights group has called her out in their latest bulletin and is likening her hunting to that of Jeffrey Dahmer, serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer, and Eliza Dushku being compared in the new PETA bulletin.
Jeffrey Dahmer ate people.
True. He did kill and eat people.
Okay.
However, they're saying it's the same thing with Eliza Dushku, who kills and eats animals. Which I think is probably a lot more common than what Jeffrey Dahmer did. That's just me. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess so.
Not that anyone asked, but since we're talking about the hunting topic, my problem isn't the hunters that are good at it and kill an animal with one shot. My problem is the hunters that wound an animal, and then the animal goes off in the woods and dies a painful, long-suffering death. That's my problem with hunting.
When I hunt, I just sneak up on the animals, and then I just berate and insult them until they get so depressed they take their own lives. That's what I like to do.
You're fat!
And then I eat them. Call yourself a buck? Look at your antlers suck. What do you got, like 4 points? No wonder that your doe is like doing with every other buck in the forest. You are a weak excuse for a man. And he goes off and just keeps banging his head against the tree until he drops.
And then you eat.
And then venison for everyone. That's all I'm saying. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Farrah Fawcett turns 62. Dog the Bounty Hunter is 56 years old today. At what age do you stop being an effective bounty hunter? Seems to me like a 56-year-old guy. Yeah. He's coming after me. I got a shot. I might be able to get away. I might be able to get away from a 56-year-old.
Yeah, that's a good
Not
point.
That crazy wife of his. No, I'm screwed if she comes after
me. You don't even want to run from her.
But dog, I might be able to get away from.
Yeah.
Supermodel Christy Brinkley is 55 years old today, and singer Shakira turns 32. At least that's what her hips tell me.
Really?
Yeah.
Can they be trusted?
You have reason to believe they're telling
you?
Sorry.
I would tend to err on the side of believing her hips.
You would?
Because really? From everything I've heard,
yeah,
her hips don't lie.
Yay!
When did Shakira start singing like the lead singer for the Cranberries? For God's sake. She's 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Did you guys know?
Yes.
Ryan Seacrest,
mm-hmm.
trying to high-five a blind guy.
Yep, saw it on TV.
Hear that. I want to thank our guest, Ryan Scheckler, for joining us today. He, of course, the professional skateboarder, X Games gold medal winner. He is throwing a fight this coming Friday night.
He's going to throw the fight? That is pathetic.
In the first round.
That is the first rule of sportsmanship, is you fight to the best of your ability, and whoever wins, wins. You don't throw the fight.
Throwing a fight like putting on a fight. He's presenting a fight at the Grove of Anaheim. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster.com for that event, which sounds like a lot of fun. Go to RyanScheckler.com for further information as well.
This afternoon at 5, we're going to do a little more research about the Tommy Lee flying a helicopter while drunk story.
That's bananas.
That is a bizarre, bizarre story. I don't know if you saw that on TMZ over the weekend. And tomorrow morning, we have Kevin Smith on the program.
What?
How about that? So we'll come back for that.
We're just going to carpool in together.
I'm sorry?
We're just going to carpool in together.
Are you?
Me and Kevin, yeah.
Sure.
Does he know that?
I'm just going to nudge him when I wake up and give him some breakfast, and we're going to come
keep her
carpooling in together.
Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes of nonstop K-Rock. For those of you who have been calling all morning long asking when we're going to play Marcy Playground Sex and Candy, it's going to be coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the show. Also, the new one from Kings of Leon, Foo Fighters, Braver, Nirvana, and more next on K-Rock.
Did you guys watch the 72-hour pregame show?
God, no.
On NBC yesterday?
No.
You know what? Usually I'm one of those guys who tunes in at 9 a.m. I didn't have the strength or the stamina to go for it this year.
There was a funny... 3-minute Will Ferrell interview.
Out of how many hours?
72.
Okay.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. So right. gotta find out. Who do you like in the game?
This is the formerly super fat weather dude from Channel 4.
Al Roker.
Al Roker on the NBC Today show, right?
Sure. I think the Steelers are going to win.
Score?
You know what? I think it's going to be the first Super Bowl ever, 2-0, just a safety.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Low scoring game.
Defensive battle.
Mm-hmm.
Dramatic safety in the closing minutes.
Wow.
Of overtime. Of the second overtime period.
Second overtime.
It's going to be a 5-hour event.
2-0.
So stock up on rations.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you got a lot of bottled water.
Do a potty break before the game starts.
Do a potty break. Yeah.
Yeah, do a potty break.
You know, Al Roker, just like Randy Jackson on American Idol, is one of those guys who got the band in his stomach to lose all the weight and uh-huh. then started gaining it all back. And I'm just wondering if maybe for some reason that surgery doesn't work on black dudes. It's just weird. Like, I can't figure out how that could be, but look at him.
At least Ryan Seacrest wasn't on the red carpet like last year when Fox had it. But
that's right.
They did. So I was fast forwarding through the 72 hours because it was just too long. But I came across Governor Sarah Palin.
At the Super Bowl?
Yes.
What's the tie-in there? There's no Alaska team playing.
I'm Governor Sarah Palin, and while some of you may know me as a hockey mom at heart, football's pretty cool too, especially on Super Bowl Sunday. And today, while we're enjoying the big game, take some time to think about and thank the men and women serving us in the United States military.
Right.
Special shout out to Alaska.
Right. Okay, all right. Listen, I'm fine with that. Let's give them a shout out.
Sure.
Men and women of the military are so much better than all of us, but I don't need to ever hear from her again, really. Do you?
Dude.
She's campaigning.
I was yelling, what?
She's campaigning.
Yeah. You are going to be hearing nothing but from Sarah Palin during the next 8 years. Believe me.
She's going to run for president?
She'll run for anything.
Oh, no.
That's her deal.
She got a taste of national politics, and she thought, wait a minute, I don't have to live in Alaska? I can go someplace else and still work?
Yep. That's not good. Mm-hmm. So we're watching the game, and Arizona, as some of you know, I bet on Arizona before the season. $20, I was going to win $1,200. End of the first half. Sweet. Very excited by this.
From the gun, Steelers show blitz. Here they come. It gets it away, and it's picked off at the goal line.
Yeah. They were just about to score a touchdown, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And then the dude from the Steelers intercepted it at the goal line.
Yeah.
But at least he didn't run it back 100 yards.
There's a flag thrown on the run back, James Harrison, to run it back. And Harrison is past midfield. Harrison going down the sideline. Harrison still on his feet.
They took a commercial break, and then they came back.
Harrison is going to go all the way.
Eventually,
officially get there.
Then they went to halftime.
Touchdown is signaled.
All right, then he got a touchdown. Okay,
Springsteen does his four songs. They come back. Harrison's still chugging along, still trying to make it. You know, Kurt Warner did not have he obviously had some trouble in the first half, but I mean, he really brought it alive in the second half. It wasn't a disastrous day by any means. That was clearly a mistake goal to throw that interception when he didn't need to. I mean, that obviously just took all the air out of the tires because they were getting ready to go into halftime with a lead. And
yeah, they
would have
been ahead, yeah.
Had to deal with that. That was a rough moment.
Then Springsteen got on stage. I thought he was pretty good. And he destroyed the cameraman with his junk. That was amazing. He did a slide.
Moss junk cam, yeah.
He did a slide into the camera, and it looked like he went way further than he intended.
Yeah.
And just demolished the dude. That guy's probably got a black eye today. Al Michaels on the top of his game with super, super sharp commentary and storytelling.
We're showing you Cuba Gooding Jr. Remember, he was in Jerry Maguire and he played an Arizona Cardinal and he became unconscious in the end zone. And I'll never forget, we were there the night. It was a Monday night game in 1995 on Christmas night when they did all of the scenics. And there he is with the Arizona Cardinals really in the Super Bowl.
That is a great story. Thank you for that, Al.
I think he's hanging out with Madden too much. He's starting to sound like him.
John Madden at the top of his game.
I mean, he is super, super, super at this.
All right. Any other word come to mind?
I think my favorite Madden moment was...
Unbelievable. You know, could Kurt Warner do it? Could the Cardinals do it? Then they do it. You know, could the Steelers do it? Could Ben Roethlisberger do it? Then they did it.
That's all the recap you need to know about that game.
And then with 2.5 minutes left...
Warner has time. Fitzgerald into Steeler territory. 30, 20, 10. Arizona has the lead.
Roethlisberger.
So I turned off the game, and I'm going to Vegas to collect, people. How do you like me now, bitches?
Yeah, there's bad news.
Arizona wins the Super Bowl.
Kevin, I'm sorry to break it to you, but...
And the Pittsburgh Steelers become the first franchise in history to win six Super Bowls.
Yeah, 35 seconds left. They came all the way back, and they won the game. So you didn't win the 1,200 in Vegas.
After the 2.5 minutes?
Yeah. I'm afraid so.
Can't go.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. We made the announcement earlier this morning that K-Rock's World Tour 2009 destination number two is the Killers in Barcelona, Spain.
Yes.
And the qualifying prize is you get to pick any day you want of Coachella this week, and then Friday morning we'll do the grand prize drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we are giving away tickets all this week here on the world-famous K-Rock. Congratulations to Manny Ramirez from Los Angeles, who just won those tickets and decided to go see the Killers headlining night number two of the
Isn't
Coachella.
Isn't that the dude from the Dodgers?
He didn't say. I don't know. Maybe he's just playing it down. I don't know.
Right.
We also had another story this morning with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. They have been doing some follow-up on a bizarre helicopter celebrity story over the weekend. I guess Tommy Lee is out in a helicopter with this pilot, and the LAPD actually forces them to land because they're flying too low and flying erratically.
I've never heard of a helicopter being pulled over.
Yeah, no.
By the
cops. Right.
Have you guys ever heard of that?
No.
It is kind of weird. I think I saw something like that Minority Report in the movie, but you don't see it in real life for Alpha. But we thought there's only one person that we could think of to talk to who was actually there who could give us the true story, and it's our friend Tommy Lee from Motley Crue back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good afternoon, Tommy.
Zoom, yeah.
Are you in a helicopter again?
Totally driving a helicopter.
Why are you taking so many helicopter trips right now, Tommy?
Because I can.
Okay.
You know, I'm like a bird, like Nelly Furtado. I fly. Rip shred.
What happened over the weekend when the LAPD made you guys land because you were flying erratically and too low? What was going on?
I don't know. You know, I was up in the clouds, just ripping and shredding, having a party. In my own personal way, and the cops were tripping,
okay.
You know?
But they asked your helicopter to land.
Yeah.
And then if I read this article correct...
Hold on, you know what?
What?
I'm having a little party up here. I think I need some tunes, you know, just make this
in the
call.
Helicopter?
Yeah, but my CD player is all the way in the back of the helicopter. Just give me one sec.
You're not flying it, are you?
Let me unzip my pants here.
What?
Yeah!
What the heck is going on?
I just had to touch the back of the helicopter, you know? So I stretched it out.
So you use that thing in your pants as a third arm?
Yeah, you know?
Okay.
It's like, hold on. Oh, man. What's this light mean, Omar?
What? Is Omar up there with you?
I had to get the owner's manual.
Yeah. Are you flying it with that thing too? And
of
why
course.
Are you listening to Limp Bizkit? What's
God.
This about?
You know, when the going gets tough, rip.
I don't even know what that means. So your pilot, the guy that was piloting the helicopter before,
yeah,
has he been taken into custody or what's going on with him?
I don't know, man. Because I was just up steering and driving and flying with my dong, like I do. And this guy was there with me, and we were doing cakes. You know what? I'm going to do a keg stand right now.
You probably
goes again.
Show you why you fly. What is that noise?
A big zipper.
That was me holding myself up with my bone. Yeah.
Tommy, apparently the investigators wanted to interview this pilot. They found him in the bar, and he said that he had only been drinking since you guys landed. He had not been drinking or drunk while you were in the air.
Yeah.
Was he even flying the copter?
Dude, you know, I've been getting into traffic a lot lately. The band, Steve Winwood's a good singer. He rips and shreds.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. I kind of dig that record. I'm going to get my hat. Should I wear that other hat, Omar?
Yeah, totally.
Who's Omar?
Got it. All the way back on the tail, the helicopter.
I'm sorry, your hat was on the tail?
I don't know how that happened. But
Tommy, can you, from what I remember from the video you did with Pam, you can touch the ground with that thing from the helicopter if you needed to, right?
In fact, I just dropped my hat. Thank you for leading me into that joke, Dean. Wow, that hat looks to be on La Cienega Boulevard, and I'm in a helicopter.
How
I think I'll get it. Where's this joke going to go? Whoa, stretching the dog. Yeah.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Yeah!
I get it.
Monday afternoon, Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a weekday afternoon. What's going on, Ralph?
How about me giving away tickets to go see the Grammys?
No, that's you what, sit on a throne
what,
of lies.
That's what I'm all about. I'm about giving back to the people.
You can't buy those, though, right?
I'm not take like you guys. I'm a give kind of guy.
I hate to say this because it may not be hip, but the Grammy show looks actually good this year.
There's some good things to it.
It's hip to be square, man. That's all I know.
I mean, in years past, they put on a lot of performers that I didn't care to see. This year, though, with Kanye and Jay-Z and U2 and Radiohead and Dave Grohl's playing with Paul McCartney, I mean, it sounds like there's some pretty cool stuff happening.
Coldplay?
Yeah.
They're playing. Yeah. It's going to be pretty awesome. If you'd like to go, call now. Why don't you? 1-800-520-1067. Let's say caller number... It's on February 8th, so caller number 8. How about that? Caller number 8 who gets through at 1-800-520-1067 wins a pair of tickets to go see the mother Grammys.
Oh,
and you can't buy these tickets, people.
That's true.
You can only get them here at Cinco de Retarde.
That's it, yes.
All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we, as we do every Monday. Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And finally, Paul Blart Mall Cop has been unseated at number one by Taken with Liam Neeson. Figures it takes a badass Irishman to kick the crap out of that mall cop, that fat mall cop.
No mall cop that's on its way to $100 million?
Shut up!
That one?
Taken made $24.6 million, made it number one for the weekend. Paul Blart Mall Cop was number two. $14 million, The Uninvited, Hotel for Dogs, Gran Torino. That's your top five. Then Slumdog Millionaire, Underworld, Rise of the Lycans. New in Town, My Bloody Valentine, In and Out of 3D. And Inkheart, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Well, as expected, the Super Bowl did pretty good in the ratings.
Yeah.
How about that?
Who'd have thought it was a close game right down to the end.
Yeah. Nielsen released the ratings today, and apparently 90 million viewers were tuned in.
Wow.
It's not too shabby.
Mm-mm.
It was a massive 42.1 household rating. I don't know what that means, but it sounds like a lot.
It does sound like a lot.
And then a 65 share.
Also sounds like a lot.
So I think 65 share means that 65 out of every 100 television sets was turned to the Super Bowl.
That was watching television, right?
That was watching television, yeah. No, even the ones that weren't being watched. Those TVs just turned themselves on to the Super Bowl.
They don't have a choice.
That's how much they loved it.
I guess, you know, every year we marvel that people will pay $3 million for 30 seconds to advertise during the Super Bowl, but here's why. It still works, and there are very few television events that can, you know, ever that can draw something like this crowd.
That's down just 6% from last year's Super Bowl, which set a record with 97.5 million viewers.
And that was the perfect season last year, right? With the
right.
New England going for perfection, yeah.
And so then they got...
That was the most watched Super Bowl ever, but still, pretty good.
I have a question for you, Ralph. I didn't watch the commercials in 3D last night that they had advertising that Disney movie, and I know they're doing the 3D Chuck tonight.
Yes.
They still want you to wear the dumb little cardboard glasses, right? That's still the best we got for 3D?
That's correct.
No, now they have cardboard contact lenses you can put in. They're really uncomfortable, though.
That is one thing that certainly has not been upgraded
technologically. Not in the last 100 years, nope.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a way to do 3D without some sort of lens to look through in order to create that illusion.
But I bet there was a time where people thought there wasn't a way to do high definition, too, and they got on it. They got a team of scientists and figured out a way to do it.
They never thought that. No, they said we can always do HD. They always knew that. But 3D is hard.
So in 200 years, we're still going to be wearing the little glasses for 3D?
Unless they find a chip they can implant in the base of our skulls, which I think would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, stop it. Steven Adler's sad.
I bet.
Well, not he's like crying. I mean, he's just sad.
Oh.
Former drummer for Guns N' Roses has been busted again on a drug charge. Apparently, cops arrested Steven Adler, former drummer for Guns N' Roses and former star of Celebrity Rehab and current star of Sober House.
Yeah.
On January 26, he was arrested and charged with being under the influence of a controlled substance, which is a misdemeanor. No word yet on what the substance was, but I'm guessing it wasn't M&M's.
Mm. Correct.
Yes, I can safely say that. So apparently he's going to have to, he set bail of $50,000 that same day, and no court date yet has been set for this particular appearance in front of the bar, but We'll have to wait and see. Speaking of sad people, we're starting finally to hear from the mother of 14 children.
Oh,
it's been in the
God.
Press so much. Nadia Sulman is her name.
Is that her name?
Nadia Sulman is her name. She's 33 years old. She had 6 kids. She had 8 more kids.
Octuplets.
Octuplets, right. So that's 14 altogether. She is a single parent.
Good.
She lives in a 2-bedroom house with her bankrupt parents.
Good.
Okay. Her mother has turned her back on her.
Good.
Said that when she gets back with the kids to her house, her mother said, "I will not be here." So she gets that support from her mom in helping to raise those kids.
This is all good news.
Well, we're starting to hear a little bit more from her. You know, she's been pretty quiet to the media. She's been pretty elusive.
Well, she's the most hated woman in California at this point.
She has announced that she will talk to the press. She will have a sit-down interview with the media for $2 million.
She needs the money.
Yes, she does, Lisa. But she says she's also worth it because she is a child care expert.
What?
She says she wants her own television series as a child care expert.
Well, she certainly has demonstrated she knows how to make good choices.
She knows how to make babies. I don't know how she is at caring for them. But apparently she is obsessed with children and apparently mentally not quite as sound as some of us.
Good. Oh, all good news.
Been obsessed with having kids since she was a teenager, according to her mother. But her mother says that because of bad fallopian tubes, she was not capable of having children.
Okay.
And so she has turned to in vitro fertilization twice now for this current litter that she's got of 14.
That is really expensive.
Yeah, it is.
To do.
Yeah.
I wonder how she ever got the money.
And I also heard, I don't know what the makeup is of the 6 kids she had prior to the octuplets. I don't know if it was, 4 and 2 or 3 and 3 in terms of sexes. But I heard that the reason she wanted to get pregnant again is because she wanted to have one more girl. That was what the goal was of going back to the fertility specialist. She wasn't happy with the 6 she had.
Well, I don't know about that because they used apparently the remaining eggs from the first IVF to give her these 8. And when they said that she had this many kids, they told her that she, for the health of the babies and herself, should have what they call a reduction, a selective reduction, where they choose which embryos will remain and which ones will not. She refused. She insisted on carrying them all to full term as much as possible.
Well, they had to raffle them off. There are a lot of people out there who want kids.
Yeah. And the sad part is most of them are going to end up going to the pound, because you know how it is.
They don't send kids to the pound.
They find them in the street just running wild, and they come along with a truck, and they throw that net over them, and it's horrible.
That's pets.
That's why I always say get spayed and neutered. That's what I always say. And how about some good news in the world of entertainment? I know, Kevin, like me, you are a big fan of Fringe on Fox.
Love, love, love.
Love Fringe.
It's a great show.
It's a great show. Bean is the only one who's wrong and does not get it.
Yeah.
But apparently, Fringe co-stars Anna Torv, who plays Olivia on that show, who's just so hot. And in the pilot, her secret agent boyfriend that died and now is visiting her in her dreams, her transformed memories, Mark Valley.
He died in the first episode, right?
Yeah, well, I think there's the others, whatever that organization is called. What's that? Teledyne, Constantine. Ramadine.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. The giant company. Project.
That giant company that does all the research. The evil corporation. Yeah. They're keeping his body alive because they're trying to siphon the memories out of his brain.
Isn't it the pattern or something?
Yeah.
That's what
they're responsible for the pattern.
Yes. Oh.
But Quinine Corporation. It's
email
it's
Ralph.
Teledyne.
If you know
what
that
don't
is
email me. I'll find it on my own.
He really
I'm
wants
fine.
To know.
Anyway, point of my
the
story.
The Darba Initiative is doing what?
Anna Torv and Mark Valley got married over the Christmas holidays.
No way!
They're married in real life and told no one. Not even the cast and crew of Fringe knew that they got married.
That's the way celebrities should do it.
Yeah.
Just sneak it through.
They fell in love on the set.
That's what she said.
Got married and decided to keep it quiet because they wanted to keep drama off the set, but apparently Mark Valley's character is leaving the show, and so they decided to announce their big news to the entire cast and crew, and so now everyone knows that they're married.
Oh, that's very
cool. Which is kind of sweet, and I hope things work out for them, because she's hot.
Yeah.
Hot people should be happy. I've always said, F the uglies, whatever they want. For them. Who cares if they're happy?
I've heard you say F the uglies.
Said it my whole life. Are you kidding me? Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Farrah Fawcett is 62 years old today. Dog, the bounty hunter, turns 56. Supermodel Christie Brinkley is 55 years old. And singer Shakira is 32 years old today. I can't find any confirmation of this, but we did manage to get a call into her thighs.
Yes.
And her thighs said that it is, in fact, true. Shakira is 32, and I tend to believe her thighs because, from what I understand, her hips don't lie.
Ralph.
Hey, come on!
Ralph. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Ralph.
I think that was deserved.
Wow, that stings. You wounded me, sir. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to K-Rock listener Russell Martin from Los Angeles, who just won tickets to go see the Grammys this coming Sunday night at Staples Center. What
are you saying? Russell Martin?
Yeah,
that's the guy's name. Who won? Yeah.
Hmm. Manny Ramirez was the winner a half hour ago.
Really?
Yeah. What's going on?
Tickets nice. For you every afternoon this week here on
Kevin Bean's Cinco de la Tarde. In or something.
Not at, yes. What's happening tomorrow morning on the Tuesday AM show?
Well, we have Kevin Smith in the studio. Who's always great. And we have to talk Bean out of his current obsession, which is... I'm super excited about 867-5309. The phone number's available. I need it.
I thought we voted no on
we
this.
We did.
I thought we're not going to talk about it.
He won't stop talking about it.
For those of you who don't know, 867-5309 was the refrain of a popular song. I think it was in the late 1860s. I think they sang it on the fields of the Civil War.
That's correct. 1982, right.
That's when they fought in Gettysburg. I think it was a popular anthem used by the Redcoats.
But being with
867-5309 is forever, though, Ralph. It doesn't matter. It's still as hot today as it was in 1982 today.
Yes, it's exactly as hot. You're right. It's exactly as hot as it was in 1982.
We don't have time to discuss this now, but tomorrow morning I'll tell you why I need to own the phone number since it's available for sale.
Bean, who has Asperger's, is physically excited about this phone number.
That's absolutely true.
And there's a lot wrong there. So,
before I get emails, I know the Redcoats didn't fight in the Civil War. I was just trying to be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's kind of the thing people correct me
on. But if you know the company from Fridge, go ahead and email it.
Teledyne.
You know?
No, it's not Teledyne.
No, it isn't. It's Massive Dynamics.
Massive Dynamics.
No. Is that it?
Massive Dynamics. Yes. That's it.
I came up with an answer.
Massive Dynamics.
Mark this day.
That sounds like an evil corporation if ever I heard
it does.
One. Yeah.
All of that tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, but don't go anywhere because it's 60 minutes of commercial-free nonstop K-Rock music with Nicole Alvarez up next. She'll have some Bad Religion, also Smashing Pumpkins, MGMT, Linkin Park, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.